It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is a tremendous Tuesday, June 11th, 2013. This is a live broadcast. I'm Doug Hagman in studio on Terra Firma with my co-host, my son. Man, I'm proud to call my son Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, you're about to hear 3 hours of unbiased and uncensored news, analysis, information behind the headlines. You're listening to the only show, by the way, where the news is presented to you in 3D. We look beyond the headlines and bylines, beyond the white noise, and bring you the news behind the news. We broadcast live each and every weeknight, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, except when we don't, which we apologize for last night.
Last night and Friday night, but I gotta say, we were on our trip to the National Insecurity Seminar down in Raleigh or Apex, North Carolina, and we went in D.C. for two nights on either side of the trip. We were busy every waking hour, I think, between meeting with people, doing what we went down there to do, and doing the show on when we could do the show. I mean, we were really busy, except when we were sleeping, which wasn't that long.
Expected meetings and unexpected meetings. But it was fantastic
down there. I mean, the phrase Southern hospitality, and I've traveled down to Florida a few times, but there's something about North Carolina where we went. These people down there were fantastic. Everybody was so nice and laid back and friendly and giving and loving. If I had to move, I would want to go down there.
I just want to say this as well. Southern hospitality is great. You're right, Joe. We spoke to it at a conference. For those not just tuning in, new listeners, we were honored by being asked to talk with Susan Price, Gold Star mother of Aaron Kenefick, who was murdered in Ganjgal, in the Afghan province of Ganjgal. And folks, if you search Battle of Ganjgal, or better yet, go to priceforjustice.com. That's priceforjustice.com. You can read about Aaron Kenefick. And, as I like to say, before Benghazi, there was Ganjgal. And you can learn about that. And of course, the people there, there were people that drove from Oklahoma, from Kansas, from various other states, nearby states. It was a relatively small group of people. But let me tell you something, the small, dedicated group of people. And I have never been so humbled to meet such a wonderful group of people. And you know, Pastor Randy Umberger of Pisgah Baptist Church, caught me taking a sip of coffee there. He was wonderful, just a wonderful pastor.
He was a fantastic pastor, and I urge anybody who is in the area or in drivable distance, you have some time on a Sunday, you can get to his service. You talk about I don't know what my dad said was, and I never was one to get into the Andy Griffith show. where he was a cop in Mayberry, but he said the church reminded him of the church in the show Mayberry, if he just moved the piano and it was an organ and put it on the other side. But, I mean, it was a beautiful church, beautiful people down there, just so loving and giving and kind and nice, and I would do it again in a second.
Exactly. And, yeah, it was a tremendous experience. We do have some photographs that now that things have slowed down and calmed down a bit, we'll be putting up, not of the people there, but of some, just us talking. And the reason we're doing that is just to really promote the information. And some people said, well, yeah, put up what you guys were, you know, look what you guys look like. And you can always color over our faces and stuff. But Susan Price, what a great lady. What a powerful, what a brave woman that woman is.
And this was video recorded. And when we do get the DVDs, we will work something out to broadcast it, send it out to people.
I'm not sure how Pastor wants to do that.
Right.
You know, it's and the questions, you know, Joe, I got to say this, and we had some time to talk on the way back. Of course, we actually went down when we drove down. Joe drove down most of the way down and through a tropical depression or tropical storm. And then I drove most of the way back through a remnant of the tropical depression. It was just wow.
The weather is getting very weird, and there is something called a derecho? Draco?
I think
some kind of storm that is going up from the upper Midwest, coming through the plains and the Great Lake area in the next 24 hours. It is some kind of windstorm we are going to get. Many people in the from, you know, to the Dakotas to Montana, down all the way through Ohio and parts of Indiana, Pennsylvania, New York, all the way out to the East Coast where D.C. and Maryland, Delaware. I saw the Weather Channel warnings today, the severe weather alerts. There's the Torcon, which is their tornado prediction center. It's like a number 1 through 10 to give you an idea of what the chances are of a tornado happening in your area. This Torcon is stretching across the whole upper northern part of the United States as these, whatever this is, goes by. So we need to keep our eye on the weather, as the clouds looked really strange yesterday when we were driving. And I don't know if you saw this, Dad, but last night, D.C. and Virginia, there were tornadoes up there right where we were. Not anything huge, but lots of flooding, lots of tornadoes. And on the way there, we were watching the news from Raleigh and saw some of the places that we passed on the way up got flooded out, washed out. And on the way back, it seems like the same thing happened. So we were very fortunate not to get caught in anything that was nasty like that, aside from all the rain and stuff we did drive through.
But, well, rarely do we say, we're driving on Interstate 70, for example, and 95, we saw sideways rain. You know what I'm talking about, when the wind blows the rain and it goes sideways. It was just bizarre. And then, of course, 95 was a parking lot for a period of time. And we met with two very, very, very special people in the Washington, D.C. area. We're not going to violate any confidences here, but our prayers are with both S and T, his son, Timothy. And folks, you know what? I was talking with earlier today, I was talking with my intelligence insider source, and he was relating the story of what did I just say, Joe? I keep wanting to say.
You said you were talking to your Nehemiah.
Nehemiah, thank you very much. I kept wanting to say Nineveh, but Nehemiah. Folks, I would urge everyone to read Nehemiah. Now, how often do I actually get on the radio and say, read a chapter of a Bible? I think that this could be the first time I've ever said that.
And that's good. Before we get into that, I want to, we got to talk about what America Wholesale is doing for our listeners, for this program, for people out there who are in need of Bible.
Well, I was kind of setting that up through. Okay. I was kind of setting that up through this because.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right, folks. By now, I'm sure after the program, and my days are kind of confused. You know, you're traveling. You wake up in one city. You go to bed in another city. You wake up in one city. It's just like when we woke up Monday morning. I had to think of where we were. You know, you open your eyes and it's like, okay, now what city are we in?
And we walked down to the lobby and saw all the Obama mugs, coins, T-shirts, the hoodies, balloons, hats,
right,
car
right.
keychains, and we knew where we were.
Yeah, I guess we must be in D.C. Yes, but I was speaking with my CIA insider source, and we've got some folks. We've got, by the way, we've got so much to talk about today. Our home base on the internet. Let me just give that out. Is HomelandSecurityUS.com. That's HomelandSecurityUS.com. But I got to tell you something. Bookmark CanadaFreePress.com. You talk about a strong news-oriented site where you're going to get the honest to goodness truth that you're not going to get here. In America, that's Canada Free Press. Judy McLeod, Brian, Kiko, those guys do a heck of a job. And I'm so proud to be, I'm proud and humbled to be associated with them. And
we had a series of just a bunch of small miracles happen over this weekend on many different levels of things we're doing and trying to do. And
well, yeah, and I'm, this is—I don't want to drag this out, but Nehemiah, read that. Of course, Nehemiah, rebuilding the wall for Jerusalem, and people were laughing because a small group of people, and not only—I mean, imagine trying to build a house or build a wall, and you know, you're having to fight off your neighbors, enemies, friends, who knows what, and you know, you're attempting to accomplish a mission and getting laughed at. Well, that's kind of the story of Nehemiah, but don't despise small beginnings. And you're right, Joe, a series of miracles really that happened. I do want to mention one thing to my absence or our absence last night was because of the it was mostly because of the trip, but it was also, of course, you folks probably know that I had some issues here on a personal level that kind of blindsided me in a way that I've never, or I haven't been blindsided like that in a number of years. Now, I'm not going to get into it, but I'll just say this, that, you know, someone's life was at stake. And however, I'm happy to report that through the graces of Almighty God, through a lot of prayer, your prayers, your support in prayer, things worked out well. But my wife, I have to tell you this, my wife was in the hospital she was visiting her father, who was in the hospital, which is part of the story. It's not the whole story, but it's part of the story. But she was visiting my father-in-law, her father, in the hospital, and she was in the waiting room. And this was, I believe it was on Sunday morning, or maybe it was Monday morning, I'm not sure. And she was seated in an empty waiting room. Now, my wife's a strong woman. She has to be to put up with me. Okay, but she's a strong woman. And Joe can attest to that, growing up. But, you know, she's a believer. And she's just a doll. But as she was sitting there, very despondent, very much in despair, very prayerfully sitting there in the waiting room, man walked by, an older man walked by. Never seen her, never seen him before. They never met. He pushed the elevator button. The waiting room was near the elevator. He pushed the elevator button. The elevator came and looked at my wife, and she looked at him, and the elevator came up. The door opened. And instead of getting on, he turned around on his heel, walked over to my wife and said, honey, you look like you're in despair. You look like you're in trouble. Would you like me to pray with you? And they did. He did. Now, she was taken completely by surprise that a stranger would do that. And said, you know, are you a Christian? Would you like me to pray for you? How many times have we done that, you and I? And she said that made all the difference to her in the world. And there was an issue right before that. A very tremendous issue, big issue, emotional issue. Right before that, that was unresolved. No sooner than did that prayer conclude and that man get on the elevator and disappear, a physician walked out to her and said, everything's taken care of.
And that's not the direction the situation was heading in before the prayer?
No, it was going 120 miles an hour in the opposite direction in a big way. So, you know what, folks? The story of Nehemiah, the story about us having to do different things, the story of you know, every day, isn't it something that we read these headlines, we see these headlines, we're hit between the eyes with these headlines, and it just gets me, it strikes me right in the breastbone when I read some of the comments on forums who say, well, you know, let's bring it on, let's go to battle, let's fight the battle. Well, back to Nehemiah, you see, it's not just fighting the battle, it's fighting the battle with divine insight and guidance, fighting the battle with the, and this is what Joe was trying to say, and you know, we were talking in the studio before the show, and he said, hey, Dad, this is what I've been trying to tell you. It's not that don't fight. You fight it as you're told to fight it. You fight it in the way that, in the manner in which you're told to fight it. In other words, you fight it with the divine insight and divine guidance. Because those who don't, and this came out of the mouth directly of my intelligence insider source, those who don't, those who think carnally, and not spiritually as well, that this is just a mere carnal fight and not a spiritual fight as well, it's not going to end well for a lot of people, and especially them. And if people think about that, if we're moving outside of the Holy Spirit, outside of the blood, outside of the divine insight,
protection.
Correct. Then all bets are off. That's right. So think about that, ladies and gentlemen. And I mean, all of this goes together in a sort of way. I know I stood back and kind of witnessed these things happen. And then when I spoke with my intelligence insider source today, and he laid it all out for me. And said, yes, this is what we need to do because the battle will be spiritual. And he did say, let's take the month of June. And folks, I really want to drive this point home. Let's take this month of June to get ready for what's coming. Because we don't know how much time after June that we're going to have. We're not promised tomorrow, let alone June, but let's take the month of June to get ready. And I think that's a good litmus, or that's a good thing to do. Let's take this month and prepare as best we can. And once again, everyone's level of preparedness is going to be different. Everyone's needs are going to be different. Everyone's ability to prepare is going to be different. Now,
right, and I want to say that it's not what you have or don't have. It is what just something we talked about at the church with some of the people and the pastor. It's not about, you know, the have and the have nots. It's about us, those who have whatever it may be, whether it is understanding of the Bible, whether it is the ability to fix things, whether it is gold and silver or storable food. Regardless, we all have to come together as a community. If when things go bad, or otherwise we are all going to, you know, fall separately. And we need that unity, at least the what we're called to do in the Bible, the stewards we are called to be to our brothers and sisters, which is everybody. We need to be in a position for those who are now to be ready to take care of as many people as possible. And those who don't have anything will be the people, those are who we can turn to, those who don't have things. And if everything is done properly, all needs will be met, and nobody will go without. And another miracle that worked this weekend, and American Survival Wholesale Foods, I got to thank them so much. We talked about starting a program about giving away Bibles. And ladies and gentlemen, our prayers were answered. The Bible Drive, as it's going to be called, has been given a life by American Survival Wholesale. You can find their website at AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And they're offering to give away 500 Bibles. This is phase one. 500 Bibles free to those who need them. Now you go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, and the price of shipping can be covered for those who would like to help somebody get a Bible by ordering just one can of GMO-free food. You will sponsor the price of the Bible being shipped to who needs it. So you can go to AmericanWholesaleFood.com. You order one can, up one can or more, as many as you like, and say, you know, this is. And say if you do need a Bible, you don't have to order the food. You just say you need a Bible. But for those who want to help with the cost of shipping, offsetting that, you can call and order these cans of food, and that money will go to offset the shipping. So people who need or are looking for GMO-free storable foods, say you want to buy 10 cans, you will actually help 20 Bibles get out there. With 10 cans, the purchase of 10 cans.
Right. Yeah, let me clarify this, because initially I thought, holy cow, it's too good to be true. I mean, it's too good to be true. American Survival Wholesale, they're Christians. And they, through the graces of God, have answered. You know, last week I mentioned that we've got listeners who need a Bible, but due to their financial hardship, can't afford one. Do you know what happened? American Survival Wholesale. I'm happy to tell you that American Survival Wholesale has stepped up. They, along with other sponsors and anonymous listeners, folks, please listen carefully to what I'm saying. American Survival Wholesale, along with other sponsors and anonymous listeners, have a plan to send 1,000 full-size King James Bibles out to people that need them. But here's the deal. This is how you can help. And I'm asking everybody that can do it to do it. If you go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, that's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, and order any GMO-free Thrive product, that will cover the shipping to somebody who needs a Bible. So when you order GMO-free Thrive products, for example, let's say you order a case of chicken or two cans of chicken or peas or whatever, they're going to send out not one, but two Bibles to those in need. And you know what else? American Survival Wholesale has agreed to pay for all shipping costs as well. I was on the phone with the owners. Both Joe and I were on the phone with the owners to make sure we were hearing this and reading this correctly. I got to tell you, this is one of those times in life that you, our listeners, can give the greatest gift of all. That's the Word of God to someone in need and receive a great product. GMO-free, long-term survival food for your survival preps. And they might think that this is an infomercial. It's not. What we're trying to do is we're trying to offset the cost. What they're trying to do is offset the cost of the shipping the Bibles and buying the Bibles by asking people, hey, if you need GMO-free food, buy from them. And what they're going to do is they will make sure people will get the Bibles. And to do so, and by the way, those people in need of Bibles, at the end of the show, I was just guaranteed this here by someone, if you send an email to BibleDrive@HomelandSecurityUS.com, you have to include your name, your address, and your phone number, and we'll make sure you get a Bible. Compliments of American Survival Wholesale. Now, please, folks, don't take advantage of this. Let's make sure that the people who really need a Bible get one. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you can afford a Bible, then please do that. But those people who can't, or if you know someone who cannot and wants one, then send an email to BibleDrive@HomelandSecurityUS.com. It's a Bible drive. But go there, American Survival Wholesale. Or if you have any questions, and there are people from all over the world listening to this broadcast. If you have any questions about this program, you can send them to bugoutamerica@usa.com. By the way, if you would like to donate your GMO-free product to those who can't afford it, American Survival Wholesale will ship the food immediately to the listeners in need. But we'll direct that accordingly.
Yeah, and it's a prayer answered because finding a place that would supply Bibles for a not cheap price, but a doable price, because you can't buy however much Bibles are all different sizes and different kinds of Bibles out there. But, you know, when you go to buy 100 Bibles and people want $29.99 all the way up and you can't get a budge, I mean, this was really an answer to a prayer that we didn't talk about, our inability to get this thing jump started. And this is a miracle that, and we can't thank American Survival Wholesale enough for this. And anybody who has extra Bibles, you know, you could send them also. That's something else we're doing. This will help recycle Bible, extra Bibles. Well, they're just as good as new Bibles, as long as the words are in there. So, no, I'm very excited about this, and it has been fantastic to watch the Lord work in our lives throughout the last week and so long before that. But everything seems to be coming together in a fantastic and beautiful way. So.
Yeah, exactly. And, folks, another thing, too, this morning I received a call from Steve Quayle, who we talked for a little bit, and he was talking with V, the Guerrilla Economist, and we were talking. He said, "Look, we've got information we want to share with your listeners." And I said, "Well, okay. Well, what's changed since the last time?" Because people say, "Well, you know, they don't want to hear the same thing over and over again." And of course, Steve says, "Yeah, you know, that's true, but there's stuff going on with China that has changed dramatically and has changed the entire complexion of where we're headed." Okay, so tomorrow night, as it stands right now, tomorrow night at 9 o'clock from 9 to 12, we're going to have 9 to midnight Eastern time. Stephen V will be on talking about China. The name of the program is Enter the Dragon. The Dragon is Entering. And I think that this is the situation in China is something huge. He explained it to me. And my capacity to understand financial things, financial trigger points, is limited. But those people out there who are much more, who have a better business acumen than I do, will be able to understand this.
Also tomorrow, I want to say I'm sorry to Pastor Begley. We were supposed to be on his show today, but we had to finish taking care of things with the trip and the rental car, and we were not able to do the show today. But we will be live with Pastor Paul Begley tomorrow from 12 to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And really looking forward to being on the show. I know we were supposed to be on there today, and like I said, I'm really sorry we didn't get a chance to do that today. But tomorrow will be much better, we'll be ready to go. Because if we went on today, I don't think we were even mentally ready to do the show, being away from what's going on.
Of course, you folks might look at or might be listening right now and say you're not mentally ready to do it now. So what are you talking about?
No, we have a lot of us to get into
this,
today.
Yeah.
But I wanted to cover all that.
Okay, Thursday, by the way. Thursday, Larry Sinclair, the author of a book about Barack Obama. Of course, he's going to be on the show. He's the author of Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder.
And also Friday, L.A. Marzo will be joining us.
Correct.
And that will be a fantastic show also, as he's been a guest before. And it was a great show. I'll find the date before the end of this show so people can go back and listen to that one who haven't heard it, because there was a lot of good information in there. And let's
what's with the sunglasses, by the way? Folks, we're in the studio.
I got sunglasses on.
Is it because of the lights or what?
I'm hiding myself from the surveillance all around me.
I understand.
No, okay. I'm just messing around. We're going to take a jump back in time, a 1 minute, 5 second jump back in time to 2007 and some words uttered by our now sitting president about what he thought of the surveillance police state that was growing in America at the time.
This administration also puts forward a false choice between the liberties we cherish and the security we provide. I will provide our intelligence and law enforcement agencies with the tools they need to track and take out the terrorists without undermining our Constitution and our freedom. That means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens. No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. No more tracking citizens who do nothing more than protest a misguided war. No more ignoring the law when it is inconvenient. That is not who we are. And it's not what is necessary to defeat the terrorists. The FISA court works. The separation of powers works. Our Constitution works. We will again set an example for the world that the law is not subject to the whims of stubborn rulers and that justice is not arbitrary. This administration acts like violating civil liberties is the way to enhance our security. It is not. There are no shortcuts to protecting America.
Well, Mr. President, you went on to say this is not who we are, but it is exactly who you are. You have taken terrible policies on privacy from the George Bush administration, and not only after saying that you would be the most transparent administration, that you would not entertain the false choice between liberty and security. You would not spy on American citizens. You would not wiretap American citizens' phones. That is not the way to protect America. That is exactly what you have done. You have taken these policies and expanded them well beyond anybody's comprehension, I think, when those words were uttered. You have turned this police state from the Patriot Act into a nightmare for anybody who just wants to live their life and be off the radar. Because what has come out now is that the NSA, as we already knew, as we knew in 1965, is now spying, listening to over a billion phone calls in a day. The ability to watch your email, your text messages, not only your phone calls, listening to your phone calls, reading your private mail, which has been a practice that has been going on for decades, but now it's in our face so much. It's convoluted.
That's
listening
right.
to the Obama from 2007 and watching the actions from the Obama administration since. It is mind-boggling. And there is so much wrong with this NSA story. It is, the timing is especially for what happened to you and your source, the timing is very suspicious. The gentleman who leaked the information, people are calling him a terrorist, a traitor, and there are some very serious questions that I would like to ask about the actions he did take, like,
well,
going where he
was.
I
asked today, and let me
say
this.
Well, did you ask him, or did anybody find him? I'm talking about the NSA leaker,
Edward Snowden.
Yes, and this is what John Boehner said about this gentleman.
He's a traitor. The president outlined last week that these are important national security programs to help keep Americans safe and give us tools to fight the terrorist threat that we face. The disclosure of this information puts Americans at risk. It shows our adversaries what our capabilities are, and it's a giant violation of the law.
That's patently false, because
talking about the violation being from the leaker.
Well, here's the situation. The information that Mr. Snowden gave, by the way, the Washington Post, the delayed patent, and essentially passed on it at first. The information by Mr. Snowden, according to my sources, Mr. Snowden was very cautious and very careful as to what he said. He provided information about the PRISM, among other things, but about the PRISM system, PRISM system. Not prison, but PRISM.
PRISM is a collection data program.
But what my question was to the gentleman who I rely a lot about, rely heavily on about information about this, said, no, he said nothing that our enemies did not already know. And that words to the contrary, calling him a traitor to the contrary of, or calling him a traitor, calling him an attention grabber, an egomaniac, or whatever, that's playing right into the hands of the tyrannical tyranny, the tyranny of our government. All this man was did, and there's no comparison to Bradley Manning. Mr. Snowden did what he knew to do. Now, he's according to my source, he could have done this a little differently, a little better, been better protected. But where do you go? Where do you go when you have this information and everybody's corrupted?
Well, let's look at two sides of the story. One, people are being put on TV, a former director, assistant director of the FBI. People from inside the government networks are being put on different CNN, Fox, and MSNBC and coming right out on the offensive, stating the only criminal actions here that were taken were not by the government, but by the leaker, because this was a program that was passed under the Homeland Security, also passed through the House and Senate, and there is an oversight to this through federal judges, and they say they work with through getting subpoenas for listening to phone lines, when that is categorically false.
That's a FISA court.
Right.
FISA court, however, this administration, as well as the Bush administration and others before it, bypassed the FISA court, just so you understand that.
And
there are cases, but...
Okay.
Okay, I mean, there are a few cases that go through the FISA court, and all that is the equivalent of having a judge look over the evidence and say, okay, you can wiretap this person. Okay, now...
Taking a look back in history, this book from Zbigniew Brzezinski, I refer to quite often, Totalitarian Dictatorship and Autocracy, from 1965, talks about this with the mass communication. In totalitarian dictatorships, all means of communications are centrally controlled by the government, regardless of whether they are actually owned by the government, as in the Soviet Union, or continue under private ownership, as in a fascist country, such as Germany under Hitler. Hence, they are not available for expression of criticism or even adverse comment. This monopoly of channels of mass communication is reinforced by the control of the means of private communication. Examples, the Postal Service. and most especially now the telephone and telegraph. Wiretapping is a common practice, and there is, of course, no such thing as privacy of the mail. And it goes on to talk about all the methods of communication, whether it be written forms, whether it be now computer forms. I mean, and he's talking about wiretapping here in 1965, the ability to eavesdrop on telephone calls.
Can you imagine that?
Goes on to say, yeah, there is complete control of all communications, which means there is no privacy, and it is in order to make sure that they keep their organizational structure together, and they can make adjustments and changes for any type of blowback or any type of resistance from the masses, as he would write. And this is all part of the mechanisms of the New World Order. Now, it's been brought up, this is probably the most important aspect of this. It has been said on several different media outlets, the ability, and the interviewer said this also, the interviewee, the releaser, said that this data, no matter how old, can be taken out of context from even 10 years ago and used against you in the future. Many people have talked about that in chatting in the chat room, to people I've talked to on the phone, to people in the know that said there will be a time where they will have evidence against you. I mean, imagine the time when the Bible and the mention of Jesus Christ is outlawed. Now imagine what you have written to people, whether it be through email, text messages, what you said to people on the phone, what you've written them in letters, what you've written on Facebook or Twitter or search for in Google, on Skype. Are they going to have evidence against you?
Every last piece of information you've written or you've spoken or you've asserted in any way, shape, or form is going to be used against you. And this is coming. I shouldn't say coming. This is here. It's here.
I'm going to make one point. People seem to be very surprised about the release of information that the post office scans all the letters front and back. I want to say that this is what they have been doing before there even was the telephone. I mean, they have, maybe not copying them, but they've had, this is not secure communication. We have a government branch or government entity, the post office, is in control of receiving and delivering all that information, the written information, the mail.
It's a branch of the federal, of the federal government, and
they
of course
have,
they're going to do what they're told.
And this book, Brzezinski's book, goes on to say that during this time, 1965, that the written mail was the least safe method of communication, and mouth-to-mouth was the safest at that time.
Correct, correct. Your mail is scanned. In other words, the addressee, the addressor, or the recipient, the addressee and the recipient, they know front and back. If you put a little, label on the back, Easter seals label or whatever, they know. The littlest thing in the database collection centers that they're building are incredible. Please understand this.
And a few interesting articles have come out in a certain subject matter of these NSA leaks. One article from InfoWars, one article from peoplepress.org. Majority views NSA phone tracking as acceptable.
Okay, I want to just, one thing before you get into that, just to be clear, because I did get a question here in email. I was told that, just to be clear with our audience, I was told that that I am a target of the NSA. And in other words, what happened with the Rosen case, James Rosen, the Fox News reporter, where he was facing, and he is, I'm not exactly certain at what level this is at, where it's at in terms of potential litigation, but James Rosen could be facing, as a reporter, ladies and gentlemen, in the United States, facing serious federal charges, according to the sources I have verified.
verified in Washington, D.C., in person by my DHS source, as well as subsequently with my intelligence insider. I'm in that same category because I was talking with some of the very same people. Let me just stop right there, okay? So I don't know seriously what my future might be with respect to the NSA. And if I'm a target of the NSA or the Justice Department because of the NSA, then you can be too. Now, I know Marika Peshman. I spoke with her on the travels back. Marika Peshman is an author at CanadaFreePress.com. I spoke with her, and we are going to be filing various things with the federal government, various inquiries with the federal government. We are not sure we're getting any type of response back. My congressmen and my senators have my affidavits. I'm waiting responses back from them. I want to know where I stand with this. Because if they can do this to a high-profile man like James Rosen, who's working for Fox News, can they do this to Doug Hagman of the Hagman and Hagman Report and Joe Hagman of the Hagman and Hagman Report? Can they do that to us?
Many people in Congress and House do have the same mindset and attitude as Lindsey Graham. And last week we talked about a story where he said, you know, our bloggers deserve First Amendment protections. Very chilling words coming out of Mr. What's his name?
Lindsey Graham.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
What do First Amendment rights have to do with blogging? I mean, where's the question there? I guess is my question.
Yeah, and this article is from the 5th of June. From the National Journal, says Lindsey Graham isn't sure if bloggers deserve First Amendment protection. And as I said, he released a tweeter, later in the day saying, just to be clear, every blogger is entitled to constitutionally protected freedom of speech, but constitutionally protected freedom of speech was changing in definition.
Yes.
Just like free speech zones.
Exactly. We accepted free speech zones because we thought we had to. Now we're being forced to accept this redefinition of freedom of speech with respect to the internet. This must be stopped. We must say, no, we cannot allow this to happen.
Fallout surrounding the NSA leaks is creating an atmosphere where now the military has been told not to read Obama scandal news. President Obama said the outrage over the federal government's decision to monitor citizen phone call activity is all hype. He might want to share his opinion with the U.S. Air Force, which is ordering members of the service not to look at news stories about the situation. WorldNet Daily, this is an article from there, WorldNet Daily received an unclassified NOTAM, Notice of Airmen, that warns airmen not to look at news stories related to the data mining scandal.
And by the way, I was notified as well by Steve Quayle that he was told that by several people in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in other places, even stateside, where they cannot access his website. I was told that there are certain places here in the United States the military cannot access our website, HomelandSecurityUS.com. And you want to know why, what the value is of Canada Free Press? There's the value of CanadaFreePress.com. Folks, outrage doesn't even begin to describe what's going on here. And it's right before our very eyes, the takedown of free speech. People will send me emails saying, when's all this supposed to happen?
Let me tell you this. The title of the show tonight, Cloud of Unrest to Reach the USA. That title wasn't pulled out of thin air. Turkey is falling deeper deeper into unrest through protests that are taking place. You have tear gas ordered by the Turkish government from the United States over the last 12 years, from 2000 to 2012, and other anti-crowd lethal and non-lethal munitions, as though they were getting ready for this and knew it was going to happen before September 11th. But in Central Square Park in Istanbul, erupted Tuesday and into Wednesday in an unsettling, chaotic course of tear gas canisters, water cannons, from police met by fireworks, metal banging, and defiant chanting from protesters. The drama followed a flow of demonstrators all day from the Turkish cities, Taksim Square, and the Abudin Gezi Park, where they've camped out for days in response to the actions of riot police. It's all a continuation of demonstrations that first focused on the environment, opposition to a plan to build a mall in a park, but now it has evolved into a crusade against the Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan's allegedly authoritarian ways. On Tuesday, just before plans talked between Erdogan and protesting organizers, there was no obvious resolution in sight. Certainly neither side backed down in the latest round of clashes. Time and again, once the situation appeared to settle down, it fired back up. Around 2 a.m. Wednesday, a fresh wave of tear gas engulfed Gezi Park, where government officials have said protesters can stay as a column of peace broke through barricaders on a street nearby. Here is a clip from Russia Today talking about Istanbul is a war zone. Turkey clashes are raging.
Hundreds of police in riot gear are clearing barricades from Istanbul's Taksim Square. They've used tear gas and rubber bullets to force protesters out, many of who fled to Gezi Park, where the unrest started. Let's talk to get the details from RT's Paula Slier right now. Paula, what more can you tell us about what's happening in Taksim Square?
Well, hundreds of riot police have stormed Istanbul's Taksim Square, which has been the site of ongoing demonstrations against the government for more than a week now. The riot police easily broke through barricades that had earlier been put up by protesters who anticipated this police action. According to eyewitnesses on the ground, the police were backed by armored vehicles. They fired tear gas canisters and rubber bullets, prompting many of the demonstrators to actually move away from the square into nearby Gezi Park, where many of them have in any fact been camping for several days now. The police also used water cannons, and in response, the demonstrators, some of them fired fireworks and firebombs and hurled stones at the police. The police have also begun taking down large banners that protesters hung on a large building on the edge of the square. Now, before this morning, the protests appeared to be diminishing, with the smallest number of demonstrators turning out last night in the past 12 days in Taksim Square. Prime Minister Erdogan has taken a defiant stand against these anti-government protesters, but he does say that he is willing to meet with some of the leaders of the opposition tomorrow, Wednesday, and this follows a request from some of the protesters. But Erdogan has indicated and is not expected to make any concessions. In the past week or so, three people have died and more than 5,000 have been treated for injuries. According to the government figures, some 600 police officers have also been hurt in these clashes. The Turkish police have been accused of using excessive force, and earlier the deputy of Prime Minister Erdogan apologized for this, but the Prime Minister himself has been defiant, saying that many of those protesting are just really looters and thugs. We do know that Erdogan is planning to hold a pro-government rally, so for the moment at least, it does seem as if the tensions are not quite over.
All right, Paula Slier there with an update on what's happening in Taksim Square. We'll, of course, keep our viewers updated as we get information. Right, a crew from RT's Arab Sister channel has been caught up in the crackdown when police had tear gas demonstrators. Take a look.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard, this is so important. Let me just address two issues here. The Turkish uprising that you're hearing about is rooted within the Erdogan government. The just so you know,
the, well,
this is a different
kind
of protest than the Arab Springs with the Islamist rising up against the secular government. This is a
who's driving the car? The Muslim Brotherhood is driving the car, which is an organization that Erdogan and his team have always been affiliated with, despite their denials. You see, and
I was told like this: this is a different situation. This is the people rising up against the radical Islamic government, but the uprising is rooted by the same people. The same people are involved.
It's a magic act. It's a magic act, and here is the bigger picture. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, when when we talked about this last week, I think it was the May 29th, 2013 article by Robert Kaplan from the Gatestone Institute. It was titled, "The U.S. Helps Reconstruct the Ottoman Empire." Every one of our military interventions occurred in an area that's been part of the Ottoman Empire. Now, think about this, folks. We've got a Muslim president in the White House, and we were at the White House yesterday, in front of the White House yesterday.
Even got a picture to prove it.
Yeah. And boy, we got stories about – we got so many stories to tell. We could just have a show about stories that were mind-blowing. But anyway, the United States, the military interventions occurred every one of our military interventions occurred in an area where it was part of the Ottoman Empire, where a secular regime was replaced by an Islamist one, by the Muslim Brotherhood. So far, the German policy of keeping hidden its leadership role in its attempt to reconstitute the Ottoman Empire has succeeded. Please commit that to memory. In other words, this administration, the Obama administration, and even those, especially those as well, before Obama, have been committed to recreating the Ottoman Empire. So one must ask, if you're an investigator, you don't have to be an investigator, why? Why? Why are we doing this? The ostensible reasons, of course, if you look at the Balkans, defeating communism in Yugoslavia, and so on and so forth, the reasons are for humanitarian purposes, but the real reasons, what are the real reasons in this NATO post-Cold War era? The real reason is to reestablish the Ottoman Empire and Islamic Caliphate. Well, then the next logical question would be, well, why are we doing that if we're going for a one world order? Because, folks, this is a stepping stone to a one world order. I would urge everyone to search. And remember, on the Hagman and Hagman Report, Google is not a verb. So please, when you call, we take calls in the third hour. Just remember, Google is not a verb. Okay, when we search Gatestone Institute, Ottoman Empire, please read that article by Robert Kaplan. Now, Robert Kaplan, I don't know the gentleman, but he's a historian. He's got a doctorate from Cornell University specializing in modern Europe. That's perhaps one of the most important articles you can read. Understand the Ottoman Empire, what it stood for, and understand Turkey's role in the Ottoman Empire, and you will see how the dots are connected here. And by the way, the second hour, we're going to be talking about Obama's fate in the United States. Think about that.
Yeah. We're coming up against the first break of the show. Some headlines we're going to get into tonight. There was a few things that happened at some airports. Richmond Airport reopens. Threats prompted an evacuation. Also, an overheated transformer caused an explosion at an Atlanta airport. Also, ACLU is suing the NSA over its surveillance program. That from the Washington Post. This from the Daily Caller. Off-duty cops collect DNA samples at Alabama roadblocks. We have Also, a headline up on Drudge, Man of Steel, the top 20 reasons why Superman is Jesus, a very disturbing article. Also, we have a deadly sandstorm in Nevada and other news. I don't know what you got on your plate over there.
I just want to say this. All of these news stories that Joe had selected before the show are important. They are going to be connected. But one thing I just want to mention is, once again, please pay very close attention. During the second hour, I'm going to be talking to you about the meeting I had with my DHS insider. It's going to be very brief, but I do need to pass some information along. This information will be, I will be doing an article about this as well. People who are wondering about the incremental nature, well, why are you releasing this information in increments? There's a reason behind it, and I'm not going to explain the reasons behind it because, but there are reasons behind it. Why not bring it all out at once? It's because things are happening in the background. That said, we're up against the top of the hour. I want to welcome new listeners. Folks, I just received new listens emails from people in Springfield. I believe it's in Springfield, Massachusetts, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. New listeners in Rochester, welcome to the program. New listeners in Kitchener, welcome to the program. Madison, Wisconsin, welcome to the program. Also, Fort Collins, Colorado, welcome to the program. Rock Springs, Wyoming, welcome, as well as Idaho Falls, Jim in Idaho Falls and his family. Welcome. You're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report on this, the 11th day of June, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman, proud to be in studio with my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman & Hagman Report. We're right back after these messages.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman & Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's canadafreepress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at canadafreepress.com. Now mobile friendly. Follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
Let's bring in our senior judicial analyst, Judge Andrew Napolitano, and with us from D.C., Elizabeth Goitein, co-director of Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice, which describes itself as a nonpartisan law and policy institute. Thank you both. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Elizabeth, let's start with you. What's your take on here?
Well, I think that this is a very shocking story in a lot of ways. I think what we're seeing is an application of a law where the law itself is made public, but the actual application of the law is looks very different, frankly, from what the statute looks like on its face. And it represents a real intrusion into the privacy of law-abiding Americans. So I think that's why people are upset. I think there's a good reason for that.
Judge, how would you describe this man?
I would describe this man as an American hero, as a person willing to risk life, limb, and liberty in order to expose to the American people one of the most extraordinary violations of American principles, value judgments, and the Constitution itself in all of our history. A person so familiar with the intelligence community, as you heard from the excerpts that you just played, he's aware of the personal danger to himself, he knows of the likelihood of prosecution, but he also understands that the government listening to half the country is not what was bargained for when statutes were enacted in the days and weeks after 9/11.
Elizabeth, has there been a national debate, a sufficient national debate over this matter?
Absolutely not, because we haven't known that this is in fact the government's interpretation of these statutes, and we haven't known that it's the court's interpretation either, because it's a secret court. It rules in secret. It only has one party in front of it most of the time. That's the government. So, I mean, the president said it the other day. We need to have a public debate about potential trade-offs between our liberty and our security.
A national debate normally comes before the government does something, not after it's been doing it for years.
Correct. I mean, that's what's so upsetting about this. Everybody understood, or everybody that follows this understood, that the FISA law, written in response to the abuses in the Nixon administration, created this secret court. But it was authorized to give search warrants to listen to the conversations or monitor the communications of foreign agents in the United States. Somehow, from that era in 1979 to our post-9/11 era, that went all the way from foreign agents to anybody communicating with a foreigner, and that went to everybody with a telephone, so that if anybody calls a foreigner, we would know. So now we get every Verizon customer, 113 million of them, participating in a billion phone calls a day, are potential suspects in the minds of the intelligence community of the United States, because they might be speaking to someone overseas. They're looking for a needle in a haystack, and they have eviscerated the privacy rights of every piece of straw in the haystack, and that doesn't trouble them. Well, guess what? The Fourth Amendment was written to prevent this very behavior, the concept of a fishing expedition or a dragnet. That's why the Fourth Amendment requires specific, articulable suspicion about a specific person before a search warrant can be given. Not a search warrant so vast that it covers more than half the country.
What about all of these leaders who have implemented this and are now standing up defending this? What's your take on them as a group and as individuals?
They are unworthy of their jobs as guardians of our liberty under the Constitution.
Who is?
Whoever authorized this, whether the president authorized it, whether the attorney general authorized it, whether the judge who was appointed by President Reagan and who signed the search warrant authorized it, anybody who thinks that it is consistent with the Constitution for spies in the United States of America working for the federal government to spy on more than half the country does not understand the Constitution, does not accept our values, does not understand our history, and ought not be in office.
So what do we do about that?
We raise Cain like we are raising now. We raise hell like we are raising now. We encourage members of Congress to expose this and find out how this happened. Did Admiral Clapper lie when he was asked by Senator Wyden, "Admiral, are you surveilling tens of millions of Americans and gathering information about them?" Answer, "No, sir." 2 months ago. Not 6 years ago, 2 months ago. That question, that answer under oath. Admiral Clapper is the Director of National Intelligence. He runs the NSA.
Elizabeth, do you agree?
Well, I don't question that the people who are implementing this program and who approved this program believed that they were acting in the best interest of the United States and that they are, in fact, acting to further our national security. The problem with that is that these powers are so broad, especially the way they're being interpreted and applied, that they open the door to tremendous potential for abuse. And so I'm not comforted when I hear the president say, "I trust everyone who's running this program," because, you know, I don't think he knows every single person who is sitting at the computer, but even if he does,
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Hello, and I want to thank Mel for that wonderful introduction. Very talented. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman & Hagman Report for this Tuesday, June 11th, 2013 edition. We are live, and I want to thank you for your patience. Yesterday, we did replay Nathan Leal's show, which was very timely. Now, just a couple of things. I want to welcome new listeners for this second hour. Just to recap very briefly, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, it's pretty much verified. Steve Quayle and Financial Insider, the Guerrilla Economist V, talking about what's taking place in China, some very interesting events that have taken place that need to be disclosed, discussed, because they will be next week's headlines. You're going to hear them tomorrow. Also, there's a bit of housekeeping here. Joe and I are honored to be guests with Pastor Paul Begley tomorrow on tomorrow's show, 12 to 3 Eastern time. That's the real time, by the way. I like to call it Pastor Paul Begley, Paul Begley Prophecy. Just search that and you'll find his home base. As a matter of fact, sometime during the course of this evening, we will put up his website and also direction to his time.
Yeah, link to the show. And also, correct, when the show's over, we'll put a link up to the rebroadcast for those who've missed it.
Okay, that's right. Now, we also have, I was just notified of this, we also have on the left side of HomelandSecurityUS.com, on the left side of our homepage, there is an email under our email address, like Joe Hagman, Doug Hagman, producer, and then there is Bible Drive. That is an email link. If you click that link, if you are in need of a Bible, legitimate need of a Bible, please, what we're seeing is we're seeing a war play out. We're seeing a spiritual war play out as much as it is a physical carnal war. So we need to be armed. Consider it like a box of 9mm shells or 40mm cartridges, I should say, whatever. You've got to be armed with the Word of God and by the great good graces of our Christian friends at AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. They're making this possible. So as we talked about in the first hour, and I will write up as well as an article for this to clarify any questions. But if you heard the first hour and you need or are looking for a Bible free of charge, that's the email address to use. It's BibleDrive@HomelandSecurityUS.com.
Yes, and for those who would like to help offset the cost of shipping the Bibles for AmericanWholesale.com, one can of non-GMO food, purchase of one, just one can of non-GMO food will offset the cost of the shipping of those Bibles. So if you don't need a Bible but you want to help in some way, go buy a few cans of food from AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, the non-GMO
Please.
Foods, and you will be supporting and helping pay for the shipping of the Bibles to the people who need them.
And I've got to say this, the owners of American Survival Wholesale, they are Christians. They want to help. They want to spread the word. They realize. And folks, we deal with, our sponsors deal, I mean, we want to deal with people who know how important this is. I was asked a question during the seminar in outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, that we were humbled to attend. How did this get so bad? Folks, a lot of good people did not get involved as things were taking place, as things were backing up. They looked the other way. no one came to other people's aid. Too few people stepped forward at the times. Too few Christians stepped forward to give other people aid. Where we're at today did not happen overnight. We need right now to back up those who are fighting the fight. And once again, you know, this fight is as much spiritual, or perhaps even more spiritual, than it is carnal. Now, that's not to say we are not to fight, but as my intelligence friend has always said, listen, because we all have our own instructions, our own set of instructions. God, to those who listen, God has given them, or is in the process of giving us our own special instructions. And as I was talking with this gentleman, he himself, now consider this a battle-hardened, battle-scarred intelligence. A man's man. I mean, you can't even imagine what he's gone through, putting himself on his knees and fasting. And this is the other reason why we are doing these series of Sunday night programs. And in fact, I think we're the only radio show that are doing these Sunday night programs. We are attempting to get people in their zone. And you know, when we're quiet, when we listen, when we're in prayer and meditation, not New Age meditation, but prayerful meditation, we receive instructions via the Holy Spirit. I believe that. I've heard from people, even after Sunday night's program, saying it was a powerful broadcast. Listen to what God is telling you. And see, even if you are alone, even if you have nothing, no food, storable food or silver, you're not alone. You're far from alone. Remember, God is with you. And so this is why we're doing these special Sunday night programs. And I've heard, once again, Joe and I both have heard what powerful, because we can make a difference this way. And we can fight properly this way. We can become part of the solution this way, as God wants us to be, in the position that God wants us to be in also. So tomorrow as well. Tomorrow V about China, Thursday Larry Sinclair, Friday L.A. Marzulli.
And Pastor Paul Bailey in the afternoon tomorrow.
That's right. And so anyway, what you had said too about the sound, the audio clip with Judge Napolitano, folks, you've got to understand the demonization of the gentleman who released this NSA information is abhorrent.
Right. They're saying he put lives at risk by releasing this information.
Absolutely, positively not. Do you think for one moment that Russians or the Chinese did not know about Operation Prism? When, in fact, everyone knew about this. Everyone in the intelligence community knew about this. Do not listen to the mainstream media. This is not a case. This is a guy that did the best he could do. Now, I've seen him described as egotistical. I've seen some pretty... Yeah, you're muted. Yeah, I've just seen some...
Felon,
things.
Traitor.
Yeah.
A danger to society, on the other side, a hero. And one of the problems is apparently the other side, the government side, the criminal side, is trying to say, well, no, he is the criminal because this program is legal because we made laws making it legal.
Right.
But
right.
You can't
follow that law.
The rights in the Constitution legally, no matter if you have the Senate vote on it, whether you have executive orders, implement it. And I know people will argue and say, well, yes, you can if it goes through the right chain of processes. But the House and Senate and executive branch can put together bills saying that they could kill you and take all your stuff and make it law. Does that mean it's legal? No.
That's very well said, by the way. Very well said. No,
what else is becoming illegal? Well, what if you annoy a police officer?
And folks, this is so important. This one law, and you've got to pay attention. When Joe, I really thought Joe, because of my preoccupation with other matters, Joe said, "Hey, did you hear about this, about the annoying of police officers against the law?" And I thought, I thought it was the start of a joke. And so I kind of laughed it off, and he said, "No," and handed me a paper. He said, "Read this." And I are you serious? You're admitted again. You keep.
I must be double clicking it. Yeah. We have an audio to play here. Annoying a cop to become illegal in New York State. This was passed by the state Senate.
Hey, Larry, be careful, buddy. Larry and Rocco, both. Larry and Rocco, be careful over there because I know how you are.
Now, listen to this. The way they talk, they say if you come into physical contact with a police officer, it is illegal. But you have to listen to the language they use, and we'll talk about this on the other side.
Well, coming out of New York, the state Senate passed a bill that creates a new crime, aggravated harassment of a police officer. This bill makes it a felony to harass, annoy, or threaten a cop while on duty. Well, State Senator Joe Griffo had this to say about his bill. "We need to make it very clear that when a police officer is performing his duty, every citizen needs to comply, and the refusal to comply carries a penalty. Well, the slippery slope of defining harassment may lead to major issues concerning police power and how this affects basic civil rights. Lori Harfin is host of The Resident. Joined me earlier to discuss the latest, and I started off by asking her, how are they defining harassment?"
Sure. So I have the actual verbiage of the bill here, and it states that one is guilty of aggravated harassment of an officer when, with the intent to harass, annoy, threaten, or alarm, he or she strikes, shoves, kicks, or otherwise subjects such a person to physical contact. So basically, any physical contact is the definition of annoying.
Okay. We were discussing this earlier, and I wanted to toss this at you. So police have had some issues with people recording them, their actions, photographing them. Does that constitute harassment?
No, unless you touch the cop in some way, shape, or form. As long as you don't touch them, you're okay. But any kind of touching, whether, you brush against them when you're passing them, whatever, just as long as you don't touch them.
Right.
Eye
okay.
Touching.
Well, accidentally bumping into a cop may not constitute harassment. Is that right?
Yeah. No, it could. That's the whole thing. The point about this, it being such a travesty, is that it's yet again another example of vague legislation that's written so poorly that you have to question whether they're just so stupid when they're writing it, or they're so smart where they build in these ways to act however they want. And that's what's going on here. It's vague legislation that you can interpret any way you want. If you touch a cop in any way, shape, or form, you could be arrested.
All right. How are they planning on enforcing this? Do you know?
Well, that has yet to be seen, like any piece of vague legislation. One never knows exactly how it's going to be enforced, but we do know that you could be arrested for a Class E felony under this new bill.
All right. So speaking of enforcement, Lori, we have a clip we want to play.
Go!
Report.
Yeah, then I'm going to have to take it as evidence, okay?
No.
So adios.
This is my camera. I paid for it. What?
Want to help the job?
No, I'm just recording.
Okay, folks, here's why this is important. This is a direct attack against your First Amendment rights. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, who this is directed towards? This is directed towards someone with a website, a citizen journalist, a blog, who takes a camera, like we took yesterday in Washington, D.C. And by the way, when we were there, there were police officers everywhere. And for example, if a police officer comes up to you and says, "Stop taping," you know how it goes. They'll put their hand up against the camera. And if you've got a $2,000 camera. You don't, that's one thing, you don't mess around with that. So if you brush aside, for example, the officer's hand, this is exactly the target, the intended target of this piece of legislation, are those people attempting to film, attempting to get to the truth and convey the truth via the internet. This is one attack against the First Amendment of citizen journalists. And that's what this is all about. You're not going to hear this elsewhere. You're not going to hear in the discussions about this. You will not hear this elsewhere.
No,
not at all. No.
And you couple that with, you know, they say if it's touching an officer, but, you know, how many times in those YouTube videos or clips we've seen where people are videotaping either somebody else's interaction, somebody else's interactions with the police or their own, even mainstream reporters such as ABC, especially around the Occupy Wall Street time, you saw police come up to them to grab their camera while they were on public property.
Absolutely.
So by you pulling away from that, you could be annoying the cop. When the cop stops you for no reason on the street and says, let me see your ID and I'm going to search you, and you say no, you could be annoying a cop. If a cop wants to come up to you and shoot you in the head and or punch you in the face and you put your hands up, you are hindering a police officer from doing his job. Therefore, you are a felon.
Don't tase me, bro. That takes on an entirely different meaning, really. But folks, you're the intended target in New York State, the citizen journalists, the people operating blogs. I did fail, and this is out of sequence. It's a non sequitur, and I apologize, but I just want to direct people, for those new listeners this hour, since last night we were not on the air, please visit CanadaFreePress.com. There are several very extremely important articles there. For example, the meeting I had with the DHS Insider source. Please, folks, spread that around. I know Glenn Beck had read that on the air, my account on the air, on his radio program, his television program, I believe, as well. It was also in the newsletter. That's a story. There are things going on there, which I'll just say this, that it's, I just want to say that, you know, there's a possibility that Glenn Beck and I might be talking, okay?
Yeah, he might go out to Texas and be a guest on the show, possibly.
It's possible. Who knows? Anything is possible.
And but, that would be just a great opportunity to inform more people that our show's out there and to, you know, for you to get some exposure and to be on Mr. Beck's show. And there have been some questions and about certain things.
We got to clear some things up. And I do want to get into talking about what the DHS Insider had said.
Yeah, there was an issue with the story that was picked up on there on the Blaze CFP. Judy wrote an article.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But also, before we get into that, please also check out Marenka Peshman's article about RICO. That's a very important article as well. But please, if you have not read, ladies and gentlemen, my contact with the DHS Insider, I humbly ask that you read it. And if you feel so inclined, please continue to spread this story. The reason I ask you this is because, and if you did not hear Sunday's program, if you didn't hear, I'm not sure, frankly, I'm not sure if we talked about this on air at all, but beyond the Sunday, my insider had said, it's something, okay? This goes back to Snowden. This goes back to what's going on about punishing leakers. Whistleblowers is what we're talking about, punishing whistleblowers. They're talking about, and folks, this is not hyperbole. They're talking about charging whistleblowers with treason. And they are reminding people who are talking that the punishment for treason is death. Now think about that for a moment. Those people, the anonymous people who write on forums and say, you know, I'm not going to believe you because this source hasn't come forward. Folks, please, do you understand what is at stake? My source, and I believe I disclosed this on Sunday, but for those who did not hear Sunday's show, my source found a note inside his car that said, and I'm sorry, I get very emotional when I think about this.
It said that they would
rape
his wife and daughter in front of him.
And then kill them in front of him. Okay, now, for those of you who are on the forums and on talking and saying, well, if you can't name the source, I don't believe it. Oh, it's a bunch of bunk. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, please think about that.
Yeah.
Please pray for these people.
And I want to say this. Whether it's the articles you write or information we talk about that other people have written or putting out there, we don't ever ask anybody to just blindly believe us or anybody else.
Exactly.
Take it to the Lord and go from there, because there are so many lies out there. There are so many now people who claim to be telling the truth, dishing out nothing but lies, or mostly lies, or part lies with part truth.
You know, and ladies and gentlemen, trust is, in my view, trust is an important factor in the times in which we live. You have got to be able to trust us with providing you with the information that we have checked out. So we don't take news stories and just read them. We look behind it. We look behind the news stories and we investigate.
You do? I just read them.
Sometimes this stuff is so heavy. Sometimes you've got to really kind of inject a little bit of humor in here. But seriously, it's a matter of trust. And what Joe says is so important. You've got to take it to the Lord. You've got to take it to understand, or to take it for discernment. We don't ask you to believe what we write blindly. We believe we're doing a service by providing this information to you. I know that my sources are a risk a lot to provide information. Several people question me about the protection of my sources. Believe me, it's 100%. It's there. It's for their protection that we do things. How things are done. We're very careful about things. And what Glenn Beck had said in his monologue about how his staff has been communicating with sources. It sounds like something from a spy novel, but I got to tell you, that's exactly what's going on. Did you want to say something about
that? Well, I just wanted to do was go back to CFP here, Canada Free Press. Judy McLeod wrote an article, and I'll post in the chat room, called "The Truth Lives Over Here Too, Mr. Beck." And the reason that this was an issue is because there was an article that appeared, not just on The Blaze, but there were other places that did this. Took the article, copied and pasted the information, and attributed it to someone else, or in Mr. Beck's case, just put an unknown source. But the issue I have is they know very well where the source came from.
Yeah, and I've got to say this, though. It's not a matter of attribution to me, because the truth has to get out there. It doesn't matter if it's me or if it's John Smith or whoever it is. To me, knowing is everything. If people have got to understand what's coming down the pike. A couple of things that were not disclosed that I'm going to be writing about as well. And again, it's incremental for a purpose. But one of the things, and folks, I want you to think about this and think about the possible, just the possibilities. There is discussion, intellectual discussion, about Obama not finishing his term. you take that for what it's worth, okay? Whether, you know, just think about that for a moment. Could we be facing a Dallas moment? Could we be facing a Nixonian moment? Think about that. That's important. There's also information about the economy and about how we, for example, where the bullets are stored.
We do have news on the Eurozone crisis.
Okay.
Millions of unemployed in Europe.
Wait, let me finish my thought on this bullets, because if I don't, I'm not going to get back to it. As I said at the seminar, and I'll tell you this, and I might have mentioned this on Sunday. Folks, you could be driving by, and you probably are driving by, locations where the federal government has purchased, leased, for example, office space or warehouse space in storage units or in empty malls, for example. They have distributed ammunition in these various locations. The most heavily distributed in areas of geographical density. The ammunition is being distributed by, it's being dictated by areas of geographical density of population. So in other words, Dubuque, Iowa is not going to have as much as Los Angeles or as New York. But there are stockpiles of ammunition to be used by federalized police agencies or police agencies that become federalized via the Department of Homeland Security. And, you know, this is for real. And the talk of martial law is for real. The talk of biblical prophecy within intelligence and also political circles inside the White House, inside this inner sanctum of political insiders. It was present under Bush, but under Obama, it's even more prevalent. Now think about that. Think about the implications of that.
I want to go back in history again to play this 1 minute clip from the Obama campaign saying what he would not do in the Bush policies that were in place at the time.
This administration also puts forward a false choice between the liberties we cherish and the security we provide. I will provide our intelligence and law enforcement agencies with the tools they need to track and take out the terrorists without undermining our Constitution and our freedom. That means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens. No more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime. No more tracking citizens who do nothing more than protest a misguided war. No more ignoring the law when it is inconvenient. That is not who we are. And it's not what is necessary to defeat the terrorists. The FISA court works. The separation of powers works. Our Constitution works. We will again set an example for the world that the law is not subject to the whims of stubborn rulers and that justice is not arbitrary. This administration acts like violating civil liberties is the way to enhance our security. It is not. There are no shortcuts to protecting America.
Well, was he lying then or is he lying now?
Yeah, and this audio I'm going to play next here, this is NSA data collection. How much Silicon Valley data has been breached?
Welcome back to Market Makers. I'm Eric Schatzker. We're talking about the battle over beta, not hedge fund performance. Alpha versus beta. We're talking about technology, and according to our next guest, the competition in Silicon Valley isn't about money, it's about who owns the future. Peter Goldmacher is a managing director and research analyst at Cowen and Company with us from San Francisco this morning. Peter, good to see you again. The outrage, let's call it that, because there's plenty of it, concerning what the NSA has been doing, peering into the servers of Google and Apple and Microsoft and others, I should add, including Facebook, has raised some big questions about the use and availability of big data. Big data is something that you specialize in as an analyst, but you're looking at big data on the private side, not the public side. What does this situation, what does this matter, this issue mean for the companies in that business?
Well, I think it means a lot of things for a lot of different people. I think this case with this the NSA shows that, first and foremost, that the opportunity to use technology to comb through massive amounts of data is very real. One of the probably the biggest user of big data out there is the U.S. government, so this brings that home a little bit. But I think what I find interesting about this NSA case, or this NSA issue, is that most people have made the conscious or subconscious decision to sacrifice convenience for security. So the practical reality is most people will actually divulge more data about themselves that actually matters by logging into Facebook and having accounts on LinkedIn than the NSA is going to glean by combing through phone calls. I think that the NSA is far less interested about that, far less interested in me talking about my son's Little League game than a hacker is on my Facebook account, where I may have my birthday and I may have friended my mother so they can get her maiden name. So it's certainly an issue, but I think it raises a lot of other bigger issues beyond just this.
Well, let's talk about one of those, among those bigger issues, and we'll get to a couple of others, Peter. One is that people are made aware because of this situation. They're made aware of the situation, and then they ask themselves, what does the government know about me? Now maybe I have a much better idea of what the government knows about me. But should they be asking themselves, what does Facebook know about me? What does Apple know about me? What does Microsoft know about me? You're right. They have been consciously or unconsciously trading away security and privacy for convenience, but they may never have thought about it in these terms. And if they start to think about it in those terms, what's the future for this business?
Well, I think the future for the business is very good. I think you
regardless of what happens.
Yeah, you know, what you're seeing is a lot of money from the venture community pouring into these new technology companies that are able to comb through these massive amounts of data. So whether or not we feel good or bad about these gigantic digital footprints we're leaving, we are doing it, and that trend is only accelerating. So I think what you have to think about is there's a generational difference, right? People my age and older sometimes are concerned about security and privacy, but we still bank online. We still use our cell phone. We still leave our location services on our iPhones on all the time. And there's a generational shift where younger people today have no problem taking lots of pictures, sending them to all their friends. They're very comfortable with their gigantic digital footprint. So regardless of the age group and the way we talk about it, nobody's leaving a smaller digital footprint. There are very few people that have made a conscious decision to say, I'm going to use less technology. What we're all saying is, I'm going to use more technology because it's more convenient for me. And I hope that I don't get my identity compromised.
So, Peter, if that's the case, whether it's with the government or whether it's private industry, there is this enormous opportunity in big data and the need to crunch the numbers and analyze it and process it through servers and databases. Which companies are going to get the lion's share of that business? Which companies are going to be hired perhaps by the NSA? Which companies are going to be hired by the Apples and the Facebooks and the Googles and the Microsofts to do that job?
Yeah, you know, it's probably going to be a long list of private companies that haven't really made it into the public realm yet. So I think about some of the Hadoop vendors, companies like Cloudera, companies like Hortonworks. I think about some of the NoSQL vendors, companies like DataStax, companies like TenGen, companies like Couch. And what these companies have done is they've said, look, we have new technologies to deal with new data types. And what they're doing with these new technologies, they're distributing them for free. So you're getting massive distribution. And for the commercial.
Okay. They were talking about how the information that is kept, that is recorded, that is gathered by the government, how it could fall into the hands of other people inadvertently, not by the government giving it out so much, but rather in the breach of their security. And it is a concern, not as concerning as the people who are taking our information and why they are taking it, but it is something that we need to watch for. There's a story written in two pieces here I wanted to cover. This also has to do with privacy. Off-duty cops collect DNA at Alabama roadblocks. Now, this, when I read this the first time, I was kind of surprised. This is a volunteer program. Off-duty cops in two counties in Alabama spent the weekend collecting saliva and blood samples from drivers at roadblocks. According to Lieutenant Freddie Turretine, the St. Clair County Sheriff's Department, drivers were asked to voluntarily offer samples of their saliva and blood for a study being conducted by the Pacific Institute for Research and Evaluation. The drivers were compensated for their samples. They had big signs up, paid volunteer survey. If they wanted to participate, they pull over and they ask questions, and they are willing, if they're willing to give them a mouth swab, the police department would give them $10. If they're willing to give a blood sample, the police would pay them $50. And if they don't do anything, they drive off. This was what Sergeant Turin explained to the Daily Caller.
And by the way, this does have its roots in a connection, direct connection to the Affordable Health Care Act. I know that it sounds like a stretch, but the IRS are illegally targeting groups of politically opposed to Obama, and they're using these very matters or these very tactics to get your DNA,
yep,
as well as other things.
Now listen to this.
Go ahead.
They want this program to end up with 75,000 donations of DNA in over 60 counties from now until October through this voluntary program. This is being done from the National Highway Safety Administration. Now, this is not isolated to Alabama, as we are reading here. What they are trying to do is 60 sites across the country will be conducting these programs from June to October to get a better understanding of inbreation patterns, according to their stated purpose.
Right. You're looking at a driving under the influence type situation, but that's the ostensible reason, but it's not. It's data collection. You see, once again, what is taking place is the centralization, and folks understand this. It's much easier to control a populace from a centralized location than it is. For example, you've got your federal Congress and your executive branch and your legislative branch. It's much easier to compromise that group of people than it is to compromise various law enforcement agencies and law enforcement officers across the country. So this is what's taking place. This is a centralization of records and a centralization
And remember, last week the Supreme Court said they can take your DNA even if you are not charged with a crime, if you are suspected of a crime and picked up for being a suspect in the crime. If the crime is of a felony, the cops can take your blood even if you're not charged, even if you're not on trial, even if you are just called in for questioning. You could be called in as a witness. Who knows? The lines are so blurred anymore. And as the lines of morality are being blurred, the lines of right and wrong are being blurred, the lines of what's legal and illegal are being blurred, society is being manipulated because of their lack of understanding, their lack of drive for the truth, their lack of care for anything outside of the trinkets that are dangled in front of their face. They are accepting this, and this is why they can continue to push as hard as they do.
Yeah, and let me take this one step further. While you're watching whatever venue or whatever might be playing in the television venue, let me take this one step further. In fact, Mike Adams wrote about this in Natural News. The Internal Revenue Service, they're illegally targeting, as I said earlier, groups of people that who are politically opposed to Obama. Not the law, but Obama. And I don't know whether you know this or not. When the Affordable Health Care Act
takes effect, the individual mandate, when that takes effect next year, all Americans who file income tax returns must complete an additional IRS tax form. Okay, Americans for Tax Reform, this is the source. The new form will require disclosure of a taxpayer's personal identifying health information to determine compliance with the with Obamacare. So your HIPAA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, which supposedly protects your privacy of individual and individually identifiable health information, is out the window.
And you're right, and I was thinking about this. But since the government has taken over the healthcare system, aren't they now the holders of the HIPAA laws? Wouldn't they be include themselves? I mean, instead of the law being held up and then saying HIPAA, right. But the IRS is a functioning arm of the healthcare system.
This is correct, and this is why we state that we are a captured operation. We're captured from within. This is why earlier during the first hour, I said that where we're at. I mean, we didn't get here overnight, and we're not going to fix it overnight.
No.
And there were a lot of people who did nothing or did little to back up the people that were on the front line. And I was, and folks, we're going to do a program on this specifically. I was reminded today of a man who is sitting in prison, and this is topical, this is very, very germane to the topic we're talking about right now. Irwin Schiff, he's sitting in prison with basically a death sentence for opposing, or for not even opposing, but for asking the question about the legality of the personal income tax, the centralization, and so on. We've got to be able to get band together and to through the word, through as Christians, we've got to be able to band together and ask the questions to come to the aid of those who are fighting the fight, not turn our heads, not turn our backs, not look the other way. And we have to work as one in the spirit, okay? And you see a lot of, and Joe and Joe and I talked about this many times, and I had not brought this up enough. It's one thing to fight. It's another thing to fight when the Holy Spirit, or when you're told to fight. So in other words, those people who are just saying, bring it on, grabbing their rifles or whatever, going out to fight, whatever they might be going out to fight for, if that is not your instruction, if that is not what you're supposed to be doing, there are going to be many, many casualties.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily.
And we have other news from the IRS. We got about 7 minutes till we go to our next break. This is audio from the IRS as they tell pro-life group, keep your faith to yourself. A pro-life legal group, Alliance Defending Freedom, released audio today of a 2012 phone call between the IRS, between a IRS agent and the head of a Texas pregnancy counsel group. During the phone call, IRS agent Sherry Wan is heard lecturing Anna Joseph about how she can't have a tax exemption, and also push her religious beliefs. A bit of advice that would be quite interesting to every church in America. Here is the audio that was caught on tape, and this is the IRS agent.
Yeah, take a listen
saying,
to this.
You know, for other people who don't have the belief, so I don't believe you need the right to do this. And they're threatening tax-exempt status of agencies unless they keep their faith to themselves.
You have the religious freedom. You have the freedom of belief. And other people also have the civil rights. Civil rights. For other people, you don't have the belief. So I don't believe you did right. So I'll do this. Stop confrontation, protesting. If you don't apply for tax exemption, you have your relative believe to do what you're supposed to do, but you have no right to exercise.
Well, now that was an interesting cut off there.
You educated a woman to do, you know, you don't do that. However, you just kind of like say, you know, you were the one woman, you fear the woman, okay? You have to give the woman opportunity to listen to you. You cannot force your religion or force your belief on somebody else. Now, for example, you go to the abortion clinic in front of them, and that says something, we don't, you know, kind of against them. You just take all kind of confrontation activities and also put something on the website and ask people to take action against those abortion clinics. That is not really educational. So here, your action is based on more blind relations.
Yeah.
And sorry about the, that is hard to hear, hard to listen to. We didn't play the whole clip because we have the transcript here.
Yeah, essentially, as Joe said, a pro-life group, the Alliance Defending Freedom, they released that audio today. This happened last year. It was a phone call between an IRS agent and the head of a Texas pregnancy counseling group. Now, during the phone call, Sherry Wan is heard lecturing this woman about how she cannot have a tax exemption and push her religious beliefs.
She says you have a freedom, religious right. You have the right to believe in what you believe. You have the right to think about what you should do, what is right for you. However, this freedom also, and this is ineligible or unlegible, they couldn't understand what she wrote.
Yeah, it's
to other people, and I'm sure it's something like damaging or hindering or a threat or
so yeah. So
other people also have the freedom.
What about the churches in America? I mean, are we not talking about a 501c3? Are we not talking about a tax exempt organization?
Correct. So you are allowed to have opinions of religion, of anything else. Well, from my understanding, the only thing you're not allowed to do is endorse political candidates.
This is just,
and that's how I understand it. But yeah, she goes on to say, you have religious freedoms. You also have the freedom of speech. But other people also have their civil rights. So apparently, in the eyes of this IRS agent, you promoting your religion or sharing your religion or sharing the gospel of the Lord with another person, is a violation of the law. And if you don't want your tax-exempt status to be yanked, you better get in line. You better say what we want you to say, what we say you can say. Don't you dare say what we tell you not to talk about. Otherwise, well, so much for your tax-exempt status. And this isn't a church. This is from directed at the Alliance of, oh goodness, let me go back. The Alliance Defending Freedom.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And I wouldn't be surprised if this Alliance Defending Freedom was listed on the Year in Hate PDF or Year in Hate report used by the Department of Justice and the Executive Office to look for new domestic terrorists, if this group wasn't listed on there as a hate group for their advocation of freedom.
We are a captured operation, fully captured from within. We have now crossed the Rubicon, I believe. And as I mentioned during the first hour, and I really want to emphasize this based on my knowledge from people who have the knowledge, that June is the time to prepare. June is the time to help others, to spread the word, of God.
Look,
June is the time.
Regardless if we knew we had 10 minutes or 10 years.
Right.
Now is always the time.
Well, that's true. But contextually, in context here, I think what has been conveyed to me, conveyed to us, is that beginning in July. Now, don't forget, we're dealing with, this is a fight against the principalities of darkness. This is a fight against
the satanic Luciferian agenda. And they go by a certain calendar, if you will. July 3rd is the exact middle of the year. You've got events forthcoming. So you've got a lot of things taking place.
As far as that being the middle of the year, have you checked your calendar, the calendar that has the days, how many days have passed, and how many days are left?
I haven't. Why? Am I mistaken on this?
I would tell you to go do your own research. No. It is roughly the middle of the year. But with that, we're up against the top of the hour break already.
Now you got me worried.
We're going to be taking phone calls at 661-244-9839. We have a friend of the show calling in from Colorado as there are huge fires going on out there. You have 2,500-plus homes have been evacuated in the Black Forest area. And we are going to take that call and other calls along with that. Stay with us or call into the show if you want to be a part of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Talk about something we did already talk about or something we have not covered. 661-244-9839 is the number. Get on hold. We'll be right back after this short message. Just stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about another wonderful sponsor of ours. And I'm going to tell you, Steve often says, God makes better friends for us than we can make for ourselves. And I consider our sponsors our friends. Grandland Firearms of British Columbia. It's a hunter's paradise. Folks, get your guns. Get your ammo supplies soon. If you're in the, if you're anywhere in Canada, you can get it without a problem. Get guns and ammunition supplies. If you're in the United States, you can go to your federal firearms license dealer and purchase from them right now at GrandlandFirearms.com. You will find a gun stock list. You will find hunting supplies. You will find all sorts of things that you might need. They are also Christians. They are also members of the faith. If you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com and click on Grandland of Firearms, it'll take you to their website. Have a look around. Grab a T-shirt. My goodness, their T-shirts are fabulous. Even a baseball cap. If you wear them. The book Treed by the River, written by Carl Granlund. What a writer this man is. What a gifted, talented writer. If you don't hunt or if you're not in need of any survival gear, it's a fantastic read for anyone. It's a great gift. Father's Day is coming up. Folks, Father's Day is coming. And let's honor our fathers. And let's honor our father as well. But honor our earthly fathers. Do your shopping with Christian locations, Christian sponsors. And Grandland Firearms is, in fact, one. And, hey, possibly your dad might be interested in the book written by Carl Granlund or whatever else they might have to offer. So, at any rate, that's GrandlandFirearms.com. GrandlandFirearms.com. And while you're up there, sign the guest book. And tell them how to join.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour of the Hagman and Hagman Report this Tuesday, June 11th, 2013. Hit this one piece of news here before we go to the phone calls. One man dead in 27-car Nevada sandstorm pileup. A deadly sandstorm ripped through Nevada today that blinded drivers on Interstate 80 in rural northern Nevada, killing a truck driver, seriously injuring several other people. And this is one of many odd weather anomalies that are happening from the early tropical storm, which may or may not you can call an anomaly, but the Dreco storm that is now on the northern part.
Yeah, you know what? You know, I don't know how to pronounce that. I really don't.
I do, but I haven't been looking at the word. I haven't seen it or looked it up. I'm just going off memory here, as a friend of the show sent me information on it earlier and what to expect. It is a sort of windstorm, and there are a lot of people in the crosshairs or in the path of these storms. And everybody's going to have to stay safe and just keep their eye out, because this thing is causing huge hailstones, yeah, high winds, tornadoes, and flooding.
I really believe, based on information that I've studied, and I know Joe has come across some actual PDF manuals and informational abstracts, if you will, that there is sufficient manipulation of energy. Folks understand that very, very carefully. And I was a hard sell, and still am a very hard sell on this, whether they're chemtrails or whether they're Tesla-like directed energy weapons. You've got to really convince me. But when you see a patent, and then you see a government abstract written about this, you've got to wonder, is some of what we're seeing manufactured? Is some of what we're seeing normal? Now, I've seen people too. I've seen people say, also, well, everything's,
third option, yeah.
But is it divine?
There you go.
And see, I was getting that. I've seen people say, well, tornadoes have happened for forever, and hurricanes and so on and so forth. But that's true. However, you're not looking at it from a larger, more grounded in the spirit perspective. And I think that as we go down this long, and when Joe and I were outside of Quantico, we took a long and winding road around Quantico, the Marine base there, and the FBI and the base there, the bases there, CIA and so on. And the winding roads there, we are on this long and winding road toward the end, and we cannot afford not to entertain all of the possibilities. And I think it would be short-sighted of us to do so. But I constantly see these people who say, well, hey, hurricanes have happened, tornadoes have happened. Yes, they have. But isn't it interesting? And I'll use Gush Katif, for example. Isn't it interesting when we, as a country, meddled in the affairs of Israel with respect to Gush Katif and Hurricane Katrina happened? Isn't it interesting that the exact area affected by Katrina was the exact area that the United States had affected in Israel in pushing out the occupants of Gush Katif? Now you tell me, is that coincidence? If 10 of those things happen, are they coincidences? Personally, I think not.
We're going to go to the phone line. We're going to go to area code 626 first, then to our friend in Colorado. 626, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, Doug and Joe, God's blessings on you both. And I just pray for the Lord's protection on the Hagman and Hagman Report and the Hagman and Hagman family. A family that I am always just honored and blessed to be a part of. I wanted to give you a quick update here. Well, thank you very much. Gentlemen, you may recall 3 weeks ago today, I was honored to be able to participate in the show, and I made the listeners aware of a very strange incident that had occurred here in Pasadena the previous evening regarding what I'm terming a mini Boston. If I may, time permitting, I'd like to bookend that story. I've done some sort of casual investigation and interviewed a few people. And if time permits this evening, I'd like to go ahead and share it with you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think it would be very important for you to do so. Folks, I'll let you lay this out because I know what I know what you're talking about. So go ahead and take it from the top, and just tell us of the original situation, and then go ahead and bookend it. But go for it. You've got the floor.
Okay, I certainly will. Thank you very much, Doug. And it's just great to be back on with you guys here for a few minutes. What happened, folks, is I had walked to the store on a completely regular, normal Monday evening. It was about 5:30 Pacific time. I was listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report, as is my habit. And a few hours later, at approximately 9:30, again Pacific time, I returned to my home. I live in a 64-unit sort of Spanish-style apartment complex in a very nice neighborhood. We're primarily craftsman-style bungalows. I think the average home is in the maybe low 500s and up. So, you know, it's a nicer area, young families, professionals, et cetera. Not by any means a high-density crime area, no real discernible gang activities or anything like that. And what I walked into was incredible. It was unbelievable. There were two helicopters above my street. There were between 30 and 40 various law enforcement officers that they had cordoned off two streets, a total of two full city blocks. There was a SWAT presence, our local police department, as well as numerous canine units. And I was immediately concerned for my safety, and I tend to think that way. You know, first and foremost, am I safe where I'm at? Do I need to relocate, et cetera? And I said to one of the officers who was sort of maintaining the block closure, I said, "Officer, sir, I live in this area. Is it safe to proceed?" He looked at me, and he just kind of snarled, and he just said, "Police business." And that's all he would give me. I then proceeded around the block to go into my apartment complex from the other. I should mention the complex is two buildings, and each building faces adjacent streets. So, and then we have our swimming pool area in the middle. So I walked into a very high, a very tense situation with obvious police presence everywhere. Weapons were drawn. They had German Shepherds on the little tactical leashes. They were going through the bushes. We had guys up on the roof. I mean, it was a really serious situation. And so I called in and I shared with the Hagman family, it was 3 weeks ago today, that amount of the story. In the interim, did some just kind of casual investigative work. I interviewed a number of neighbors as well as some of the residents that live in my building, and this is what I came up with. I will also add, Doug, two pieces of photograph documentation of what happened. Essentially, at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time on that Monday evening, the resident manager where I live was contacted by phone. And a gentleman identifying himself as part of one of our local police departments, and I do have some names and department names, but I'm going to just go ahead and be kind of vague on that. I hope that's
all
okay.
Right.
And I'll explain why.
That's better. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and I'll explain why when I give you the final summation here. But this man identified himself as law enforcement, and he asked the resident manager for permission to enter the premises to conduct surveillance on a property located two properties north on my street. And apparently he had a good vantage point for this surveillance from our swimming pool area. He then proceeded to the swimming pool area where he, and this is a direct quote, where in approximately 2 to 3 minutes, all blank broke loose. And what I mean by that, gentlemen, is apparently, and this is an assumption, but apparently the various law enforcement agencies were at a jump-off point in the immediate vicinity because the amount of law enforcement assets that descended on the area and the rapidity with which they did so would indicate that they were already staged you know, a couple blocks away or what have you. What happened, gentlemen, is this. The helicopters began broadcasting on their PA systems that all residents were to shelter in place, lock their doors, lock their windows, and open the door to no one but uniformed law enforcement. Again, this is at about 5:45, 6 o'clock that evening.
All right.
This is getting disturbing. Yeah, it really was, gentlemen, and that's why I'm sharing it. What happened is the gentleman who first asked for permission to enter the premises was, in fact, liaisoned through a local police department, but was himself a federal U.S. Marshal. And I actually saw proof positive of that. Again, I'm going to remain a little bit vague on that because, you know, I'm pro-law enforcement, and this gentleman, you know, he works undercover and so forth. So it turns out that he was a federal employee, a deputy U.S. Marshal, and this was a fugitive situation where two perpetrators exited the property I mentioned previously, the two units north of where I live. They caught one immediately. As soon as he exited the premises, they took him out. The other apparently managed to hide and evade law enforcement for about 4.5 to 5 hours. This went on for a long time. We later learned that this fugitive, had managed to lay down up against the face of my building with stucco on one side of him, the actual wall, and then a box hedge that he kind of wormed his way under. But one of the reasons that I think it's important to share this with folks is actually three. The first is I was a little disturbed that our resident manager acted in good faith under a certain pretense, and then it turns out that this gentleman was not local law enforcement, but in fact working as a federal agent. Number two, I want to really emphasize this, Doug and Joe, there were over 100, 110 households who were directly and adversely affected by this. I interviewed one of my neighbors who lives in a single resident home, the block to the west of me. She had her husband and her young son, a toddler, at home, and she was trying to return from work. Her home is two houses in from where the police had cordoned off the block. They would not permit her to return home to check on the well-being of her child. This poor lady.
So this is martial law, what we're talking about here.
Absolutely. And this poor woman, she almost started crying when she told me this. She said that she found herself walking the aisles of a local supermarket aimlessly, wondering if her little son was going to be okay. Now, I'm not a parent, but I know that I'm very close with my mom, and that really resonated with me, guys. And I'll be happy to answer any questions if you have any, but the last thing I want to say, and I saved this for last intentionally. Gentlemen, we have three local papers. We have the Pasadena Star News, we have the LA Daily News, and we have the Los Angeles Times. There was not one word of this incident in print, period. It's almost like
okay,
it never happened.
That bothers me the most, I think, out of all of this, is because I've been hearing from other parts of the country, not quite in the depth and detail that you provided, but very similar situations. We're talking about the drills for geographically limited martial law. And I think these are dry runs for martial law. Do you disagree or agree with that?
Well, no, gentlemen, I'm afraid I do agree. And I just want to emphasize to everyone who can hear my voice, be not afraid. I say often when I'm on the air with you guys that faith and fear cannot coexist. I didn't relate this story to create anxiety in anyone's spirit here this evening, but just to participate and to contribute you know, at a modest level to this information war that we are unwitting participants in.
And caller, I just want to say this, and for the listeners who followed all of that, and I think it's important for you to understand what this caller had described. You're going to be seeing more and more of this across the United States, and what we're looking at here is the run-up for a concurrent set of operations like this in advance of or subsequent with or concurrent with a an incident or some sort of contrived incident where the powers like the local police departments will be coordinating with other agencies, federal, most likely to prevent movement from places to other places.
Absolutely.
Now, there's only one question I have before we cut you loose here, because we've got to pay a bank of callers. One question. You said that this woman had left her home and left a child there. Is that what I heard?
Yes, her young son in the care of her husband. She was trying to return home from work. And child was not left unattended. But nonetheless, that really, I mean, to all the moms and all the grandmas, you know, that can hear my voice here this evening, I just really want you folks to consider what I just related to you. This woman found herself aimlessly walking the aisles of a supermarket at about 11 o'clock at night, desperate to see that her young son was okay, with armed law enforcement activity just everywhere. It was it's just something I wanted to book into that story. Gentlemen, I always really appreciate you sharing your time with me, and God bless you both.
Well, we're going to unofficially or officially dub you Mr. Hollywood. Okay, we're going to call you Mr. Hollywood. How's that?
I will accept that from you, Doug, and Joe as well.
All right, God bless you, my friend. Thank you for relating that. Wow, powerful information.
My pleasure. Good night.
Thank you, sir. Good night. Wow. And folks,
yes, thanks for the call.
Yeah, you don't hear about this. Blackout hopefully is troubling as well.
Yeah, I made a note of what the gentleman said, and we're going to be revisiting this. Right now we're going to go to Colorado. Our friends out there, Don, from Colorado, you're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. You have been talking to me through emails and informing me about the fires that are going on there. And I remember last year you went through the same situation. Can you tell us what's going on out in Colorado?
Yeah, this fire that's burning in the Falcon area, Black Forest area, is about 30 miles. Northwest of us, and the plume is coming clear out here, and it's a pretty big, substantial plume. And we can also see the plume from the Canyon City Royal Gorge area fire, and that's probably 80 some miles from us, due west. And there's a very large plume there as well. Standeo is kind of directly in the line of that smoke plume. He and Holly. They live out there in the Pueblo West area, so
right,
they're getting smoke right off of Highway 50 there.
Okay, now my first question: are either you or Stan and Holly Deo in any type of imminent fire or danger from fire?
No. Stan's quite a ways away from that. He's more directly in line of the smoke than I am. I'm quite a ways east of both fires, actually, but it still comes way out here where we are out on the plains. And I couldn't even see the mountains for the longest time today, and I kept looking out there, and we couldn't even smell the fire, and I thought, this is kind of strange. I looked towards the mountains. You couldn't see the mountains, and it looked all hazy. And then I could see this weird kind of brownish-looking plume, not even seeing anything from the Black Forest fire at all. But I could see this brownish plume towards the Canyon City Royal Gorge area. And I said, that looks like a fire. And then I could just barely start smelling it. And I came in and told my wife about it, and she turned on the news, and that's when we found out about it. The fire that started in the Black Forest area started around 1 o'clock our time, so it'd be about 3 o'clock your time. And it's just,
what?
It's burning houses down right and left. I mean, and it doesn't really look like they're doing much to do much, you know, for preventing the houses from burning. And unfortunately, from what we can tell, the biggest thing that they're using right now is military helicopters for fire mitigation, and they just have those buckets that they dip down into local lakes and come up with about 2,000 gallons of water and dump that on. And believe me, 2,000 gallons of water on a raging fire, you know, that's spreading is nothing. And the winds have been blowing probably 45 to 50 miles an hour all day long, and hot and dry. The temperature's been in the high 90s most of the day. And they do have a DC-10 jet air tanker that's dropping retardant on the Canyon City Royal Gorge fire. But we don't have any of the air tankers, you know, anything other than just the military choppers in the Black Forest area. I mean, it's burning, it's burning down half $1 million plus.
How much?
$1 million plus.
No.
In a Black Forest area.
All right. Is there any difference? I mean, first of all, do we know what caused this, or the cause?
Not yet. No, I haven't heard any reports of any causes for any of this yet. You know, on any of the fires, and even the one down in La Vida, which is south of Pueblo, a ways. There's one going down there too. It's at the same time, so there's actually.
I want listeners to understand this, and I'm sure, caller, you understand this as well. The enemies within these United States, one of these tactics is to tax our infrastructure through starting forest fires, we've got to.
Last time I talked to you about the Waldo Canyon fire, you know, in the west of Colorado Springs, that was believed to be a set fire, and the investigation that our El Paso County Sheriff has been doing on it so far is proving that it was a set fire, but they have not been able to narrow it down until somebody else comes out with willing to stand up and say they saw somebody. But everything shows that it was a set fire as well. So,
wow, okay. Is there anything that we should know about, listeners in that area should know about, specific to this crisis?
To the crisis,
you know, anything that
I don't
like, anything out of the ordinary.
I would just keep your eyes open for people that don't belong in your neighborhood, no matter where it is. Strange cars, strange vehicles that don't belong, that are driving through, you know, with suspicious behavior and activity. You know, it wouldn't hurt to report it to the sheriff's office and just say, you know, I've seen such and so vehicle with, you know, some people that are driving by slow and kind of looking, and, you know, describe their behavior if it doesn't seem, you know, quite normal.
Sure.
And just to keep an eye open for things, because there's a lot of people that get off watching fires start. And, you know, I'm not totally not disbelieving that, you know, there are foreign troops here that are setting these things and, you know, just trying to mess with everybody and keep everything, you know, turned upside down. And, the more they can do that, the more upset the public is, the more likely a martial law situation can be instituted with little or no effort. In fact, they'll probably get the public begging to have it.
Exactly. And it's a matter of not just one incident. In cases of relative quiet, for example, it's not one incident, it's multiple incidents. Well, look, we really are praying. We must pray for these people in the path of this firestorm, which really it is. And, of course, we'll pray for your safety. And I want to thank you so much for this update, because we have received emails
of concern about people in that area. And so thank you so much for your update. Man, I'll tell you, it's very much appreciated. Let's say God bless
no
you,
problem.
Sir. Thank you.
Yeah, the right. fires that are
thank
going
so
here
much.
are basically the conditions are exactly the same as the Waldo Canyon conditions were. Dry, 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 heavy yeah. winds, same situation all over again. So.
Wow. Okay. Wow. All right. Well, that's good to know. Well, it's not good to know, but it's we need to know. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for that. We're going to keep our eyes on this and definitely call in with sit reps or situational reports as needed. We appreciate your information. God bless, my friend.
You're welcome.
You're
have a good evening.
All right.
All right. There we go. God bless, man.
Thanks, Tom. We're going to move right along here. Area code 847, you're up next. Thanks for holding. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Very well. Hello? What's on your mind tonight?
Hi, my name's Rich. I'm in Chicago, and I'm a relatively new listener, and I just wanted to call you and tell you how much I'm enjoying listening to you folks. I found you. Steve Quayle was a guest on your show, come to find out, numerous times, and through him I found your show, and I'm just really enjoying the content. Wanted to ask you guys a question. Have you ever seen the movie called End of the Spear? It's a story about five evangelical Christian missionaries from the United States, and they go down to the rainforests of Ecuador. And they're murdered by the natives. And although they could have defended themselves with pistols and things of that nature, they didn't do it. And the reason why I bring this up is I think Christians in America, we're going to be put into a position here pretty soon of those missionaries that went down to Ecuador. Things are getting so progressively bad so quickly. And it's troublesome to me. I see some Christians that, you know, they're toting gun rights and their you know, First Amendment rights and Second Amendment rights, and those things are all very, very important, don't get me wrong. But I think as Christians, we're going to be put into a position like these missionaries did, where we're going to have to make a choice, and that is, do we fight this tyranny on our knees, or do we fight it with the barrel of a gun? I think things have gotten
good. Yeah.
I think things
yeah.
are getting
yeah,
so
well.
Out of control. Where things are getting so out of control, we're like sitting on top of a roller coaster. You know how you take the roller coaster all the way up to the very top, and then just before you're ready to go over, and things speed out of control? Well, I don't think there's a listener on this program that would contest that we're right at the top of that apex, and we're about ready to go down. And things are just, you know, it's to the point right now where there are so many things that are wrong. There are just, you turn the news on every morning, and it's an adventure to see the next level of depravity or the next scandal. There's just so much. And I think, you know, as a Christian, and I'm assuming that most of the folks that listen to the program here are Christians, we're going to be like those missionaries, and we're going to have to make a choice. And, you know, the Bible's very clear. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and seek my face, I will heal their land. You know, we're to a point right now
that's – and, caller, I just want to say the Sunday programs with Steve Quayle, Pastor Langford, or that's not by accident, but by specific methodic design, because you can pick up a gun and fight. You can do all of that, but if you do that if that is not what you are led to do, if you're playing a position that's not your position based on what God is telling you to do. And I know that might sound really crazy to some people, But as a relatively new listener to the show, I've said it before. Everyone listening to the show, and I said it at the seminar, everyone present, everyone listening to the show, you're the nexus point. You are the center of influence for the people around you. So not only do you have to listen to your instructions from God, but you also have to encourage others to do the same. And you're right, because now you point out, and End of the Spirit, by the way, it came out in 2005, and it is a true story of a group of Christian missionaries in Ecuador. Just go to International Movie Database, and you can get the plot summary and get the idea of what this caller's talking about, but you're exactly right.
One of the better ways I've heard it put was that people seem to have a willingness and a readiness, or at least talk like they do, and are ready to die for the country, yet they aren't considering giving up their life for the Lord as he calls to do, or as he will call some of us. And as you say, all of our outcomes are different. All of our messages will be different. We'll be individually guided through these storms by the Lord only if we remain obedient to him. We can't, you know, decide to go out on our own one day and do what we want to do. We have to do what he wants us to do.
Gentlemen, I'm convinced of one thing. And, you know, when I listen to Steve Quayle and L.A. Marzulli and all the wonderful guest speakers that are out there, one of the things I'm beginning to believe vehemently is that we live in a country, the lie is so pervasive. I think when we get on the other side of the kingdom, when we finally enter into the gates of glory and we look back, I think we're going to be astounded at just how deep the lie really ran. And I think that, you know, when we look at America and we look at how we began and where we are today, we look at the media, we look at our elected officials, it's all a lie. And I think we're really, the only firm rock there is Jesus Christ in the Bible. And, you know, I plead with my brothers and sisters out there that are vehement defenders of, you know, freedom, you know, or the idea of what we think freedom is, the First Amendment rights, the Second Amendment rights, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. Those things were true, but that was for a different time. You know, there's a famous quote by one of our founding fathers that the Constitution was made for a morally and just people, for a holy moral.
Absolutely.
We're not that.
Yeah, it won't work. You're right. And he did say it, and I don't know if it was Thomas Paine or John Adams, I don't recall who, but he did say if that moral and just populace fails to exist, so too will the Constitution. It'll be perverted, essentially.
Yeah. So, hey, I just wanted to call and say thank you, guys, and enjoy the show, and thanks for taking my phone call.
Well, thank you for listening, and we're glad to have you as part of the Hagman and Hagman Report family. Call anytime, my friend. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Have a great night. All right, moving right along here on the phones. All right, there it goes. It finally clicked off. It was took a minute there. We're gonna go to.
It's by the way, it's amazing how the interface works, and people say, "Well, how can you be so clumsy with these controls?" Well, it's not that. It's
sometimes they have a mind of their own. Sometimes they have a delay. Sometimes. We have to play with the buttons. We click the buttons, and it won't.
Oh, before you take the other call, I just want to make an announcement. I forgot about this.
You're waking me up when you're done.
I'm going to go over there and slap you. 1:10 in the morning, during the news hour tonight on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, I'll be a guest briefly talking about the NSA affair, the NSA scandal. So I just want to, for those listening, if you're up at that hour, at, wherever it might be in your area. I was invited to put my two cents in regarding the NSA scandal.
Okay. We're going to move along here on the calls. We're going to go to area code 916. Thanks for holding. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hey, Doug. Joe, it's your friend from El Dorado Hills. Just got back from Israel.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
What's on
hey,
your mind?
Well, you know, so much revelation from the Word, and I just, like the other callers, thank you for what you're doing and just continue to be led by the Spirit of God. And, you know, in the book of Isaiah and with what's been going on with you specifically, I'm going to read the scripture, and I'm going to ask in Jesus' name that when you may already got it, but I'm going to ask God that you just show Doug the greatness of your Word. And it talks about the, and behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall raise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of Yahweh, and the righteousness is of me, says Yahweh. And that was a revelation that was given to me a few days ago by a woman of God that I've been blessed to know, and just how we kind of compare what God's doing in our lives. And the other caller that called about, yeah, and when you get that, it's, yeah, you shall. You know, it's time for us to get the Word of God, and trust me, I tell people I know so much, I know nothing, because that's all I want to do is be so, I guess, none of myself and all of God, and be in that vessel, and he's looking for us. You had Nathan Liao about a week or two ago, and he was talking about the fires out of Ezekiel 20, and, you know, in
that's
the
right.
first part of May. Are you still there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the first part of
yeah.
May, California. I'm a retired firefighter. I worked for 31 years in the fire service. And, you know, I had never seen May in California fires that grew 18 and 20,000 acres in one day. And we've had a couple fires like that where it exploded, you know, 20,000 acres in one day.
What do you attribute that to? Because you're going to have people say, you know, well, it's because of the drought, dry conditions, or whatever. You give a very simplistic and very limited explanation. But what do you see the cause? I don't want to say cause, but it's almost something different.
Well, it is, Doug. You know, judgments on the land, period. It's incrementally, if that's the right word, but it's been increasing daily, weekly, monthly. This thing is increasing, and God is executing his judgment, and he even wants us to. Your caller last week, verse 17 in 2 Chronicles 7:14, everyone knows that scripture, but verse 17, and as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do the commandments, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish my throne of thy kingdom. So that is part of God's kingdom, the throne. And
right.
we're all getting it by the Spirit of God. What I can attribute it to, and I can tell you, thus saith the Lord, back when Proposition 8, now I have never been gay, but I slept around a lot when I was single, and I would be judged no differently than them. Because I was not married, and I was an abomination to God, and I was a heterosexual male. I was no different. Anyway, when Proposition 8 in California got turned around, when they first brought this out a few years ago, Governor Schwarzenegger, obviously was the governor, I gave him a Bible. That's a whole other story, but I was able to give him a Bible. I met him in a camp in L.A. in 2008 at a fire camp, and I gave him the Purpose-Driven Life book before I gave him the Bible. But when that, and you Google this, your listeners and you, when the reversal came from the courts that weekend, there were over 1,000 lightning strikes in California, and there were over 1,000 fires that weekend.
Wow. All right.
So
wow.
I don't need to say no more. I can tell you, and I can tell you, thus saith the Lord, before we got into May, in my spirit, I was praying. I said, Lord, as a sign, show me by these fires. And so I know God is going to use, obviously, he said he would use fire. And we're getting ready to have the courts rule, you know, in California once again. And keep your eye on California.
Very good reminder. Yes, because it's before the court now. We're awaiting the decision. And I think we all know how this is going to go. You know, just like the Boy Scouts, the 1,000 lightning.
But this,
wow.
Yeah, and Joe, but just Doug and Joe, just to encourage us, God is showing us something, and we're getting this thing, and I will try to call in as much as I can. I appreciate you guys giving me the time, but don't get caught up. God says in the book of Malachi, the proud and happy are being set up to be delivered. I would encourage your listeners to go back and read Malachi 3. So people, I don't care, but you know, when the proud and happy, and we know who some of them are. I, at one time, was I was arrogant, and God set me up, and I got delivered, and I had a choice, and I went to the deliverer, and I got set free. Praise the Lord. I want to leave you with this one, Revelation 11, verse 17 and 18, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and are to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto the servants of the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament, and there was a lightning, and there was voices, and thundering, and an earthquake, and great hail. I would encourage, like you said, we have to be led by the Spirit. It's not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of living God. And I believe that God, I don't own a weapon. I have a shofar. I have the Word of God. I have the power and Spirit of God. You know, the mantle of Elijah is here, and I will get into all this. I would just encourage all of us to press into God, into His Word, continue to listen to those that are watching, which you guys are, truly are. And I just ask God to just release his increase in and around you guys, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, amen, and thank you so much for that.
Amen.
Call. Wow. Yeah, indeed.
God bless you.
That was a good call, Joe. And you know, that there, and folks, we do look at, during our, this lengthy trip or this hectic trip that we had, Joe and I spoke about you folks as a family, the listeners, as a family, you know, we are going through this together. We have to understand there's that the carnal, the temporal aspect of this, the news that you hear about. As above, so below. Look, we're fighting, like I said, the principalities of power and darkness. We have to look at who we're fighting. You see, the enemies, our enemies, have set this up for generations, for decades, for centuries. So we're fighting something that has been established for a long time. And then we're fighting the deception that goes along with it. But we have to do this in the right way.
Exactly right. That is exactly right, and so well said. Right on the money. We're going to go back to the phones. We're going to go to Donna. Thanks for holding, Donna. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Hi. I'm glad you guys had a safe trip. I'm praying for you guys. I just wanted to go back to what you were speaking earlier about the weather, and, you know, people have mentioned or around on the internet, I don't how to vet it, that you know, they can control the weather and whatever. Maybe that's true. I don't know. However, I keep thinking about what John the Baptist said when the guys came to him and said that, you know, Jesus was baptizing and everybody was going to him, although it wasn't Jesus, it was his disciples that were doing the baptisms. And John the Baptist said, nobody has anything unless God allows them. And that's time for me to back off. He goes through about talking about the bridegroom and the bride is, you know, when the bride comes, the groom's hat or the best man sort of backs off and allows that to happen. So whether or not these people in power think they have some sort of control over the weather and control over things, in reality, they only have it because God allows it. And that's all I wanted to say. Oh, and then the fires here in Colorado, it's because they have a lot of beetle kill. So there's a lot of dry trees in the mountain areas. It's really bad, the beetle kill, really bad. But other than that, God bless you guys. Keep doing what you're doing, and thank you so much. So I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you,
Donna. Okay,
Donna, God bless you.
Bye.
God bless. Yeah, Joe, the wildfires, the various physical earth calamities. The way I see it too on the internet, and we have to really look at all of these things, whether it be the earth changes, whether it be the societal changes, the economy, the all of this, but we have to look at each and every one as an interlocking type of process that's taking place. And under and what is that process under? That process is under divine judgment or this Luciferian satanic type of situation. And, you know, once again, our Constitution is being shredded every single day by the day. If you go to the headlines, for example, on and alerts on Steve Quayle's website, look at those in through the context of biblical prophecy. And I know that to a lot of guys, especially the guys, I don't know what it is, but the guys, they're you know, just kind of they're too macho to do that. And I know the feeling, but I think we have to look at that through that prism.
Yeah, you're right, we do. And I want to read you a question. This is from somebody in the chat room from Canada. They ask, what is going on in my country? All Harper seems to care about is gay rights and cutbacks. What does Canada have to do with the deception? And
I think the answer is simple. I mean, personally, I think that the answer there is quite simple. If you pick up the book, for example, The Naked Communist, if you look at the plans to destroy a country, to destroy a populace, a lot of that has to do with sexual perversion. And folks, and I want to thank Marianne too for some of her headlines. If you or some of her news research that she's done, you've got Facebook, for example, a lot of graphic pro rape content, despite banning. I mean, consider this: we're living in a universe, on a planet, where you've got, for example, Facebook that allows graphic pro-rape content, yet bans a mother's photo of children with holding anti-GMO food signs. They have no problem with, for example, promoting rape, but they oppose freedom of speech about GMOs, for example. But we know from the Naked Communist, and we know from the communist goals, that is a stepping stone toward a single global governance, that tearing down the moral fabric of a society is part and parcel to that goal of establishing a one world governance and taking out, diluting Christianity, Judeo-Christian principles, all of this. This is all part of a larger, don't look at it as one issue. Look at it as a spoke in a wheel, a bicycle wheel, yep, of multiple issues.
How else could you explain from the last 50, 60 years all the things that have been written about in the Bible that have come to pass from the last 2,000 plus years, especially Jesus' time on earth, his death and resurrection prophesied about by the prophets in the Old Testament, by numerous people? All the timelines, the signs were all given. And as we said before, deception has been around since the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve.
That's
obviously
right.
It was very high when Jesus was crucified that they people did not even recognize the Messiah.
But the
Lord said would be a time like no other before on earth, nor will be ever again. Imagine the level of deception we are up against now. That is why it is so important for the spiritual discernment, not only for your own spiritual future, but for the time you have here to be able to discern how to endure, how to overcome by also following his will while doing it.
And speaking of discernment and speaking of, for example, understanding or attempting to understand the tactics of the enemy, one of my favorite things to say is that this leadership, this Luciferian leadership, the Illuminati, for example, they are using the King James Version of the Bible to bring about their so-called, what would you call it, their victory. Yet, and this is why, for example, numerology is important. You know, you've seen people like the Clintons, Hillary Clinton, numerology, very important to these people. Dates are very important to these people. And I'm not talking about Christian Mingle. I'm talking about
lust, power are very important to these people, too.
Very, yes. But these are tactics
of the character. And, yeah, we have a couple of callers tonight that talked about, you know, what you do when you're called by the Lord to do something. And if there's a debate going with people, you know, what is the right action plan? And you've stated this many times that each plan of action is special to each individual. But
yeah, don't argue about that. We cannot
take ourselves and listen to ourselves to the point where it takes us out of the protection of God, where we're doing things that we think we need to do rather than things he is telling us to do, because that's when we will be in trouble. We are not fighting people here. We are fighting evilness in high places, and you can't put a bullet in a demon. We are going to need to use the authority the Lord gave us, the spiritual authority that we have, that we just need to learn how to utilize in order to fight what's coming, because it's much bigger than the DHS. It's much bigger than the government of the United States. This is Satan's spiritual army pushing.
You've got to look at it that way. Yeah. Because, yeah, Joe, if you move outside of that, if you move outside of what the Holy Spirit is directing you to do. See, there should be no fighting, because the charge is going to be, the instruction is going to be different to Joe Smith than to John Doe, for example. You are going to have a different set of instructions. And absolutely, perhaps your instructions are going to be, pick up arms and fight. But if you do it without the protection of the Holy Spirit, if you do it without that veil of protection, then once again there will be casualties. As we talked about earlier, pick up arms, let's go, let's fight, let's do. You know, no. If it's not correct within the Holy Spirit, within God's directives to you, then you will be a casualty. And I see so many people being led astray by other websites and other people who are saying, well, let's just go do it. Okay, yes. Let's take a moment and let's be in prayer. And that's what these Sunday programs are all about.
with that, the show tonight is about over, and it went very fast. It was good to be back. Tomorrow, do not miss Pastor Paul Begley's show. If you cannot catch it live, catch the rebroadcast. We'll post it on our website, 12 to 3 Eastern Time, paulbegleyprophecy.com. And also tomorrow night, we will be joined by V at 9 p.m., 9 to midnight with Steve, and important updates on the economy in China. And also Thursday, Larry Sinclair, Friday, L.A. Marzulli.
I'll sneak in the Night on the News segment on Coast to Coast with George Norrie. Looking forward to that. With that, ladies and gentlemen, God bless you. We'll see you here tomorrow night at our special time, 9 p.m. Eastern, 1 hour later than normal. God bless and have a great night.
Stay safe, everyone.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.